Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
And welcome in, 402-1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, our South and North Gym frequencies, respectively. That'd be Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. Anywhere online, KGYMradio.com, as we make our way toward 7 o'clock here. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We welcome you aboard for a short week after the three-day weekend. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it and made it onto the other side safely. We've got a great program for you today. Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press-Citizen will be with us in about 10, 15 minutes as we'll close the book on another season of Iowa baseball. The Hawkeyes not getting the results they were looking for in Omaha over the weekend. John Parato, who covers the Pittsburgh Pirates, is with us inside the first hour of the show as well. Local boy makes good. You didn't think we were going to completely ignore this, right? I think it's the biggest story going today. Mitch Keller makes his debut last night for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and after a rocky first inning, settles down, looks okay, and then catches a shuttle back to AAA Indianapolis earlier today. But we'll find out what John thought about Mitch Keller's debut and whether or not he has any insights as to how the Pirates handle him moving forward. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com, frequent guest of the program, joins us in the 6 o'clock hour tonight as the Boston Bruins, taking Game 1 of the Stanley Cup playoffs last night over the St. Louis Blues. Game 2 comes up tomorrow?
Correct.
And then there's a two-day layoff, and then you get to go enjoy Game 3.
Hopefully tied at 1, but we will find out tomorrow.
I'd rather have tickets to Game 3 than Games 5, 6, or 7 at this point in any series, because you never know if there's a sweep. That's when I had chances, when I had the chance to get World Series tickets to see the Cubs in 2016, I took the guaranteed game. I wanted Game 4, and of course, that series wound up going the distance, but you didn't know that at the time. Give me a guaranteed game over future considerations. Lots more to get to on the program today. As we mentioned, a lot going on, including, I don't know if there's a curator out there for this particular line of sports news, but if you've listened to the program for a really long time, you know that I am a huge fan of what's referred to in the industry as the Friday news dump. And this is the biggest, steamiest pile of Friday news dump ever. We're going to get to it in the 5 o'clock hour. An athlete's defined by one play. Sad news yesterday, the passing of Bill Buckner. Bad weekend for passings all around with Bart Starr. And then Bill Buckner yesterday, the former Major League Baseball All-Star, former batting champion. Many people remember him as a member of the Chicago Cubs, came up with the Dodgers, and had his most notable moment in the major leagues, unfortunately, in a Boston Red Sox uniform, and did not allow that to define him, although it took him many, many years to get over. I want to get back to Mitch Keller, though, because you get a kid, and I don't care how big of a city this is, but you get a kid who makes his major league debut. That's a big story. And we finally saw, I think a little bit ahead of schedule last night, Mitch Keller make his debut for the Pirates, the top pitching prospect in that organization. They had a doubleheader with the Cincinnati Reds, brought him up to be the 26th man and take the start. Nerves.
That's could see it right away.
That's all I could think of in seeing the first inning. And then settled down after that. And 7 strikeouts in his debut. Got fairly good marks from Clint Hurdle, the Pirates manager. And then, unfortunately for Mitch, I think fortunately, he gets a ticket back to AAA, because I don't think he was quite ready to come up to the major leagues just yet. But you see teams do this occasionally. They get in a pinch, or they think somebody's ready when maybe they necessarily aren't. I think back to how the Los Angeles Angels handled Nick Adenhart when he brought when he came up and made his major league debut in the 2007 season, and he got knocked around for three games, made three starts, looked awful, shouldn't have been in the major leagues at that point. He still needed some time in AAA, and it's not the first time, not the last time. Mitch Keller's going to be back at the big league level. I can tell you that much right now. That stuff played yesterday. It's just a matter of six runs in the first inning, but you got to give the Pirates credit for not going with the quick hook. Now, granted, you play in a doubleheader, and you kind of got to let the rookie sink or swim out there, but not only do you give the Pirates credit for not going with the quick hook, but you give Keller credit for going back out there and saying, okay, the nerves are gone, let's go. And again, I thought he looked much better after the first inning.
And we always hear people in the minor league say that the one thing that we want to learn about a prospect, especially a top prospect like Mitch Keller, is how are they going to respond the first time they give up six runs in the first inning? And this was a situation where there was a doubleheader, and they needed somebody to start the second game of that doubleheader. A pretty low, I'm not going to say pressure, but a low-pressure situation to put him in there and let him figure some things out after they had won the first game of that doubleheader. Of course, he was going to be nervous. Of course, he was nervous. But like you said, he settled in after that, and I'm going to draw this back to, I think it was 2003, I want to say. I was in Wrigley Field for a doubleheader with the Cardinals and the Cubs, and the Cardinals brought up a young prospect who they were high on. You could tell right away that it was not going to be a good day for him. I think the Cubs went something like, they got something like 13 runs off of him. They eventually traded him in the Mark Mulder deal, but he turned out to be a pretty darn good pitcher in Dan Heron. And he, in his major league debut, was knocked around sort of the way that Mitch Keller was in the first inning yesterday. So it happens, but it was good to see him after that, those next three innings, settle in and show the stuff that he has, striking out seven.
Dan Heron, who's a very good Twitter follow.
Absolutely.
By the way, I believe his handle is still iThrow88. He's got a good sense of humor about himself. But
he threw much harder at the time.
He did, and a good pitcher, and I mentioned that Mark Mulder deal. The A's, once a wash in great young arms. And the A's, are playing some pretty good baseball again, if you haven't noticed. I think they've won 10 straight. For the record, Nick Senzel was the first batter that Keller faced in the majors. It would have been more intriguing. This matchup would have been more intriguing, especially here locally, had Scott Schebler still been on the Cincinnati Reds. Can you imagine Schebler batting leadoff, which he occasionally did for the Reds in his time in Cincinnati? Scott Schebler, Solon alum, Cedar Rapids Prairie, facing Mitch Keller in the major leagues?
It would be the biggest story in, I don't know, a market like Cedar Rapids, right?
Instead, Scott is unfortunately in AAA right now, and so Mitch Keller faces Nick Senzel. He walks him, gives up a single to Jesse Winker, and then issues another walk and comes back, strikes out Derek Dietrich for his first major league strikeout, and then, well, Yasiel Puig singled and got the Reds going, and from there it was downhill again after the first inning. And Keller said he was a little amped up, direct quote. As I try to put myself in that perspective where you've worked your entire life for something and you go out there and you're pitching in a major league ballpark. Everything's different in the major leagues. I've talked to so many guys over the years that they try to convince themselves otherwise. It's still, this is the old line from Hoosiers, right, about the height of the baskets and things like that. But you can tell yourself that, and then you walk into a major league stadium for the first time, and the grass smells different, and everything looks different. And
the mound feels further away from home plate.
I just an incredible accomplishment, and I know Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette did a fine job of reporting on Mitch Keller's debut, even though he was not able to be there in Cincinnati for that game was at Buffalo Wild Wings here in Cedar Rapids with Mitch's family. As they why, I guess if you can't make it and you've got to watch the game, go someplace where you know they'll be able to find it with the MLB Extra Innings package. But a large gathering, and I know Mitch's brother, I think, was there, John, who is a former pitching prospect in the Baltimore Orioles organization, who's now retired from baseball, and a great moment for that entire family yesterday. We'll have more on Mitch Keller's debut with the Pittsburgh Pirates. John Perlotto joining us coming up here in about, let's call it 30, 35 minutes after we finish up our chat with Dargan Southern. How'd you spend your three-day weekend?
I spent my three-day weekend with some friends in Chicago. I came back yesterday and got things together before coming. It always feels a little bit tougher coming back to work after a three-day weekend, and I got things together before coming into work today, but it was a really good weekend. How about you?
I spent my weekend watching a lot of baseball. Unfortunately, none yesterday because Mother Nature washed out the Cedar Rapids Colonels and the Peoria Chiefs, but not before I was able to get my dollar popcorn at the concession stand. And I say my dollar popcorn, it wasn't for me, it was for my son. But we spent Sunday in Clinton at a ball game, which is an adventure if you've ever tried to keep a He'll be three in July. If you've ever tried to keep a three-year-old interested in anything longer than 5 minutes, well, no, 2.5 minutes, 2 minutes.
Unfortunately, I have the same problem, Todd.
It was fun. I was wrangling. We spent more time on the slide and playing in the little play area than we did actually watching the baseball game, but it was good. He got a baseball. He only has about 90 of those at home. I've long since given up on explaining to people that his mother works for a baseball team and he has more baseballs than he knows what to do with. And he's also at that age now where he's starting to throw the baseballs and he's not differentiating between a baseball and any other form of foam or rubber ball that bounces and doesn't do any damage. So we're just waiting, quite frankly, for the first thing to be broken in our house. But he walked around all weekend. He had a little baseball clutched to his heart. It was adorable. It was
now,
fun.
I hesitate to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. He has never gotten a ball stolen away from him by an adult, has he?
No, he has not.
Just asking.
And
no particular reason.
Boy, did that. Look, I saw that clip over the weekend, and I thought, yeah, there you go. A little content fodder for the program. Luckily, I don't know who that person is. Don't recognize him. If it's somebody I recognized, I would call them out on the air. But if you're unfamiliar, was this the championship game? I know Ohio State was playing. Ohio State beat Nebraska over the weekend for the Big Ten tournament title. Again, Dargan Southern's going to be with us coming up in just a few minutes as we close the book on another season of Iowa baseball. It did not end the way that Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes wanted it to. But during a game that didn't even involve the Hawkeyes in Omaha, there was a scene where I guess we'll call him a gentleman, even though it was not a gentlemanly thing that he did, but a gentleman who appeared to be in the 40 to 50-year age range, somewhere in that neighborhood, wound up taking a foul ball away from a young Ohio State fan. And it all worked out well for the Ohio State fan. The team found out about this, and they signed a ball for the kid, and I think the Big Ten Network tweeted it out. But let this be a lesson to you. Don't ever take a foul ball or a home run ball or any type of ball away from a kid.
Just don't do it. There are cameras everywhere.
Don't do it. I understand. And there's that I don't know whether it's
a
famous story or not, but I'm familiar with it. Ricky Henderson was in the stands one time at a game and caught a foul ball, and he wasn't going to give it away because he'd never caught a foul ball in the stands before. I don't know. Maybe this is you never know what to believe. All these Ricky Henderson stories that are out there, whether some of them are true or not, but he didn't want to give up the ball because even though he'd caught thousands of baseballs over the course of his Hall of Fame career, he'd never caught one in the stands as a fan. But unless you, if you're not a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame and you get a foul ball in your direction or a ball tossed into the stands and it's near a kid. Same goes for any other sport. This is common in hockey as well. You see players toss pucks or try to hand a stick up over the glass to a little kid with a sign or something. And then you've got the overzealous adult who comes flying in there trying to take it away.
It's
let the kids have. They sell the balls.
It's such a quick fix, though.
They sell the balls at the souvenir stand. I know at Wrigley Field you can buy a Major League Baseball for $35-40. They're cheaper at Target or Walmart, but you can say, hey, I went to a baseball game and I got this ball.
The thing that gets me in these situations is there. It's such an easy thing to fix. Like I understand that there's a reaction when you see a ball, you want to grab it, but then you see the kid next to you, just hand the kid the ball and nothing happens. You're not infamous. You're not all over Twitter like Brockmire, looking like a jerk. But he didn't. He ran away with it, and that's why he was international news.
Well, I don't know if they're talking about this in Kuala Lumpur or not, but he was certainly he certainly was a villain in the United States and in particular in the Midwest, and he
maybe in Canada as
represented
well.
A certain institution on his shirt, and therefore people are having some fun with this today. Let's go to the phone lines. By the way, Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line available for you, 319-366-1600. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way for those of you who don't know the text line and the phone number. Our next caller certainly remembers it, though. He knows it well. Cyclone Tim hopping on board with us to bat leadoff here on a Tuesday. Tim, what's up?
How you doing, Todd? Well, I wanted to share a real quick story. A few years ago, maybe a couple years ago, when the Titans, I believe, were playing in the ice arena before they moved to the Cellular Center. But we had a little kid. He was probably about 7-8 years old sitting next to us. And before the game started, if you were aware how they did the football tickets, you could get in early if you had tickets to get in before the actual let the crush of people in. And we were sitting there and we were watching the other team was from Chicago kicking extra points, kicking field goals. And one came into the stands and Steve McMichael, the former Bear player, which was
Mongo,
coach. Yeah. He was yelling back up at my buddy that caught the football, said, you got to throw that back. He said, no, I'm going to keep it. So now you got to throw it back. And they start having a yelling match. Now, I'm not going to yell at Steve McMichael, but he's pretty good size. And so anyway, the manager of the Titans came over and said, I'll get you a real football somewhere in the second, third quarter. Just throw that one back. Okay. So he threw it back. So the game started, and they had the T-shirts that they fired up in the air. And this little kid, well, we caught the T-shirt, but we gave it to the little kid. And he was just happier than happy.
Smart move.
Right. And a few minutes later, well, actually, it was about a quarter later, the Titans guy came by with a football and gave the football to my buddy, who proceeded to hand it to this little kid. So now he's got a T-shirt and a football. And he was reaching under his seat for, I don't know, to put the T-shirt down or whatever. He felt something. He reached under there. It was a puck from a Rough Riders game that had somehow got up there, and no one had got it. And so this kid in one game caught a puck, a football, and a T-shirt. And the dad looked at us and said, I think we set the bar too high for him for the rest of the time we're coming here. So I thought that was kind of cute. But the kid had a great time.
Yeah, I thought that story for sure was going to end with you stealing the football away from the little kid somehow, Tim. So I'm glad that it had a happy ending. And you're probably the only person in Cedar Rapids who was happy about that Mitch Keller outing last night, being a Reds fan.
A little bit.
A little bit. We'll allow it. We'll allow it.
Yeah, it's bittersweet.
Cyclone Tim kicking things off. Leadoff caller tonight, 366-1600 if you want to join in. We should mention, by the way, that we do anticipate the possibility of some severe weather while we're on the air tonight, especially as we get toward the 6 o'clock hour. So we'll do our best to stay on top of things here. And that severe weather that hit Friday, just as we were going off the air a little bit before 7 o'clock, luckily for the folks in Iowa City, did not do any severe damage. And the storm did not cause any issues the way that the 2006 tornado did in Iowa City, although momentarily it was on that same track. So disaster averted there, and thoughts to the folks in Dayton, Ohio, and that area that were hit with some severe weather the other night. The Dayton Dragons, who are members of the Midwest League, along with the Cedar Rapids Colonels, are doing their part to help the affected area, collecting some food items and donations at their ball game tonight, and they just got their power and phones back within the last couple hours. So anytime you see a city hit with severe weather, it just reminds you how dangerous it is. And that's time for another public service announcement. We've already hit you with the don't take balls away from little kids PSA. Don't be that guy or the woman that berates your local weatherman or weather person, weather woman. Well, let's go with weather person. It's 2019. Don't want to offend. There's not a single TV show out there or radio program out there that's more important than keeping people informed about severe weather. So if you want to watch The Bachelorette, go find it online at abc.com and shut the hell up and let the weather people do their jobs. 423, the biggest, steamiest news dump ever in the 5 o'clock hour. Many of you probably already know what direction we're heading with this. John Parato, who covers the Pittsburgh Pirates for DK Pittsburgh Sports. It's actually one of my favorite sites, and I'm not lying about that. I've read this for a really long time. Is going to be with us in the first hour here, along with Dargan Southern of the Iowa City Press Citizen. We've got a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub. We've got to give that away before 7 o'clock tonight. As a matter of fact, we may have two of them. I'll have to double check as to which day we will be doubling up, but since we were not on the air yesterday for Memorial Day, we've got an extra one floating around. We'll figure out whether we need to discharge of that today, or maybe it's the additional prize tomorrow inside the 6 o'clock showdown. We'll take a quick timeout, 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM, and online at kgymradio.com. When we return, Kyle is going to get you filled in with a big board update, and then we'll talk Hawkeye baseball with the one and only Dargan Southard back after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard, and when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things, your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
Bill Buckner was drafted by the Los Angeles Dodgers, and his most memorable moment in Major League Baseball came in a Boston uniform. In between, Buckner spent the prime of his career in a Cubs jersey on some forgettably bad teams. Buckner, who passed away Monday at 69 following a battle with dementia, came to Chicago along with Ivan DeJesus for outfielder Rick Monday after the 1976 campaign. He hit over 300 four times as a Cub, including 1980, when he led the National League with a 324 mark. That season, he struck out just 18 times. Unfortunately for Buckner, Leon Durham began eating away at his playing time just as the Cubs began climbing out of the cellar in 1984, and he was shipped to Boston in a deal headlined by Dennis Eckersley. If you're a Cubs fan in your 40s, chances are your heart is heavy today.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
At Menards, nobody beats our prices, so you'll save big money on your outdoor yard accessories. Keep your hose organized with a Suncast 175-foot hose reel cart. The patented EasyLink system ensures a watertight connection between the hose reel and hose, and it has attached wheels to make transportation a breeze. Just $24.98. Menards Race to Savings Sale prices are good through June 2nd. Plus, a Menards gift card is perfect for Father's Day.
Save big money at Menards. Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Twins and the Brewers one more time at Target Field as this two-game series comes to an end on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Starting at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
4:27, we welcome you back in as we make our way towards 7 o'clock, and it could be an interesting one again tonight. The possibility, once again, of severe weather here in the area. We will do our best to walk that tightrope between pretending to be weather persons and also doing a sports talk radio show. But if I have to be honest with you, if it comes down to talking about Caleb Wesson coming back to Ohio State or R.J. Hampton going to play basketball in New Zealand versus discussing the possibility of severe weather, I'm going to err on the side of severe weather. And I think the lights flashing in the studio here are actually just a coincidence at this
point. Okay, good.
We'll take that as, if this is an omen for how the next 2.5 hours is going to go, stick with us because it could be interesting. 366-1600, the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line. A $30 gift card to Mulligan's is on the way for you before 6 o'clock tonight. We'll do it in the first 2 hours. Kyle's joined us in the studio, our producer Kyle Mann, with a big board update. Big board updates on the show presented by Alexander Lumber. Right now, you can still find them at their temporary location, 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City. Here's Kyle.
The Iowa baseball team saw its season come to an end Friday night with a 3-0 loss to Minnesota after falling to Nebraska earlier in the day. The Hawkeyes finished the season at 31-24. Rick Heller's 5-year tenure has seen at least 30 wins in each season, and you never know what's going to happen in the draft, but they do have the potential to return a lot of major contributors next season. John Rothstein reported earlier today that Iowa basketball's draw for the 2019 Gavitt Games will be a home game against DePaul. Former Iowa State guard Lindell Wigginton officially became a former Iowa State guard over the weekend, announcing he'll be staying in the NBA draft. He still doesn't have much hype leading into the draft, but his departure solidifies an open scholarship that Steve Prohm has expressed high hopes for. Randy Peterson reported this morning he's heard of a real chance. That spot goes to Penn State transfer freshman guard Razier Bolton. At 6'2", he averaged over 11 points and shot 36% from three. The Colonels scored 25 runs and 2 wins on Saturday and Sunday and then got rained out yesterday, but that's far from the only reason for excitement from the weekend as they received their next big Twins prospect and 20-year-old shortstop Wander Javier. He's not highly ranked currently after not being on the field much, but the Twins gave him $4 million to sign back in 2015. Unfortunately, the team starts a long road trip tonight in Burlington, not returning until May 11th. Tonight after the show, we'll have the 19 games over 500 Minnesota Twins hosting the Brewers on 107.5 FM The North Gym.
And Mitch Keller makes his debut last night. Local kid does good for the Pittsburgh Pirates, at least after the first inning, if you throw out those results. More details to come on his debut as John Perlato, who covers the Pirates, will be with us here in the first hour of the program as well. And Megan Gustafson has a home, so to speak. She's going to be playing in the basketball tournament, which is a 64-team winner-take-all event that consists of mostly male players. It takes place this summer. There's a $2 million grand prize, and I believe this event is ESPN is involved in this somehow.
I've seen this event before.
You got to have something to put on TV in the summertime. I think ESPN, this is sort of their summertime version of the Poulon Weed Eater Bowl. She's going to be on the Iowa United team, which features former players from all four schools in the state of Iowa, as well as Milwaukee, for some reason. Looks like Nicholas Bear and Peter Jock are going to be teammates with her, but Megan Gustafson has a place to play basketball in the time being, after being cut by the Dallas Wings. And again, for people that are still upset about that, it's a 12-team league with 12 spots on the roster, and it's really difficult, even if you're a second-round pick, to make a team. So don't take it personally. If you want to unfollow their Twitter account, go ahead and unfollow their Twitter account. Just basketball is a business, man. Sports, it's tough. Not always a way to keep you happy. And speaking of tough business, Dargan Southard of the Iowa City Press-Citizen is with us, as promised. We're going to close the books on another season of Iowa baseball. And how would you describe Iowa's stay in Omaha. I would use the term bizarre, just given how some of those games played out, Dargan.
Yeah, I guess kind of the big picture take on it is it was a little bit like a microcosm of their season. You know, there was sparks, there was fireworks along the way with the big upset on the first day over top seed Indiana, and you can kind of mirror that to some of the series wins that Iowa got this year, cracking the top 25 for 1 week. But then, you know, not really enough juice or enough push to finish the job, as you saw two losses come immediately after that. You know, I wonder, you know, I asked this after the Minnesota game to Ben Norman if, you know, after they lost to Nebraska, if they were able to, you know, really focus on one game at a time because the Nebraska outcome shifted so much what they had to do. And, you know, he kind of said that, you know, you just got to take it one game at a time, obviously. But I just think that, you know, the Nebraska game was so pivotal just because, you know, that's – you win that game and you potentially have to play two fewer games to get to the title game. So – for Iowa to lay an egg as bad as they did in that game, I think that was pretty disappointing, especially coming off the Indiana upset, and that can kind of be parlayed into the way the season ended as a whole. So, yeah, you know, unfortunate ending just because it started so well, but, you know, eventually kind of a symbol of the season just ran out of gas at the end of the year.
What was the mood for this team following the conclusion of the year? Because I think back to some of those big series wins against Nebraska and UC Irvine, and it seemed like even though they won those series, there were guys on that team that were frustrated. They weren't able to pull off the sweep, knowing that they needed to get as many wins as possible when they could. Should we have almost seen this running out of gas, so to speak, coming?
Yeah, I'm not sure I necessarily saw it coming. I guess it was frustrating, like you said, because I think guys knew, you know, especially with the way that last year went, I don't think anybody necessarily got overly excited or, you know, got ahead of themselves after those big series wins, which I guess makes it even more frustrating that they didn't get the job done because they had a reminder right there from last season what happens when you, you know, don't take care of the easy business per se after taking care of the hard business. So I think that's probably where a lot of the frustration lies, just because, you know, Iowa had the wins to have a decent resume. It's just, you know, couldn't finish the job. But, yeah, you know, it was a little bit of mixed emotions, I guess you could say, which is pretty much what I wrote in my season-ending piece yesterday was, you know, if you had said at the beginning of the year to this team, hey, you know, with the coaching changes right before the year, with the big pitching injuries that they suffered, with, you know, the schedule that they have to go through and all that, with the draft losses. If you had told that this team in February that, hey, you're going to be in the regional conversation all the way into May, you know, seem like you have things pretty solidified into May, I think most people would have taken that. But given the way that it unfolded where Iowa did the hard work and had it right in front of them and couldn't finish the job, I think certainly contributes to disappointment and wouldn't be accurate to not include that there's a lot of that there because, you know, now with the success that Rick Heller's brought and the consistency that is now within this program to be competing for regional spots every year, it's going to be disappointing when you don't follow through with that, and that's, you know, now 2 years in a row that this has happened. So you know, I think spinning it either way is fair. You know, there's disappointment, there's, you know, this team didn't take a step back, which is so crucial in the Big Ten, where you see teams, you know, maybe make a regional a couple of years in a row and then fall off and, you know, don't finish, you know, or don't make the Big Ten tournament or even like that. So Iowa definitely avoided that in what could have been a year where, you know, you did see a step back. So there's definitely you know, a lot of positives to draw from that, and that's, I think, why you say why you hear Rick Keller say that this team overcame as much as any in his time coaching. So, yeah, but I think anybody who follows this team and got on board was hoping that, you know, they could get back to the postseason. So definitely some disappointment that it didn't do the way it did.
Purdue comes to mind, speaking of teams that get hot for a little bit and taste some success and then fall back to the pack. And as you mentioned, Iowa poised not to follow that same route. Dargan Souther to the Iowa City Press Citizen with us. At the same time, it still has to sting to see five Big Ten teams head off to the regionals. I mean, there was the opportunity there for Iowa. They just couldn't capitalize.
Especially when the team that won the Big Ten tournament was you know, in kind of a similar spot as Iowa. You look at Ohio State as the number 7 seed. You know, even more so down in the pecking order, because I remember working through the last weekend scenarios, and if they had had a game or two bounce the wrong way that final weekend, they wouldn't have even been in Omaha. And then they go from the 7 seed all the way to the title game and then win the title game. And, you know, now they kind of made a similar run that Iowa did in 17. You know, because it was talked about as being so wide open, the tournament, and ended up living up to that hype, you know, I think that might add to some of that. You know, Iowa had a chance to you know, save it all at the end and couldn't do it. But, yeah, you know, I mean, especially when you look at Illinois, that's a team Iowa swept. Nebraska took 2 of 3 during the regular season. You know, Indiana got the big win over them in Omaha, Oklahoma State. I know they're non-conference, but, you know, they're a regional host. That's a team Iowa took 2 of 3 from. So, you know, I think they finished 10-8 this year against teams that made the NCAA tournament. So, yeah, you know, I think somewhere in the baseball offices, there had to be some what if thoughts, as the selection show went through yesterday, obviously without Iowa hearing his name called. So, you know, I think that certainly adds to the disappointment as well, that Iowa held its own a lot of the time against some of those top teams in the conference. But, you know, the margin for error is so slim in the Big Ten. And unfortunately, Iowa learned the hard way how that is for another year.
You mentioned the adversity that they faced last year, and it started with the offseason. The draft hit them hard, not only with current players, but players they were going to bring in as replacements from the junior college level. Then the coaching changes. I know Rick Keller is absolutely hoping for a quieter offseason. What are the chances he's going to get a much quieter offseason?
Yeah, I think if you start with the draft, you know, at least it seems like there are fewer clear-cut departures the way that the last 2 years have had been, with Robert Neustrom and Jake Adams and Nick Allgaier. You think about those guys, non-seniors who were pretty much dead set gone at this point in the year. So I don't, you know, just kind of scanning the roster, it looks like it's the quieter drafting. You know, I think if you ask Rick Keller, he'll tell you don't count your chickens before they hatch on anything with the MLB draft, just because it's so crazy. And, you know, a guy that seems like is dead set on coming back, it's the right package and then leaves. But, you know, I think the first time in a few years, graduation is going to be what hits Iowa harder than the draft. You look at Cole McDonald and Chris Whalen and Mitchell Bowe and Tanner Wietrich and Jason Foster. I mean, those are some big pieces right there that need to be replaced. Not that they can't be, but you know, I think it starts there. If you're looking for a couple of guys that, you know, could bounce with the right situation, I think Grant Judkins might be in that boat. Ben Norman could be in that boat. But definitely going into this draft, it feels like it's going to be a better one for Iowa, just because it doesn't seem like – I think it's very reasonable to think that aside from the seniors, everybody comes back for next season. But again, I mean, there's challenges with that too, because, you know, Rick Keller's not going to know exactly what everybody's draft situation is until obviously it happens. And that presents some challenges in recruiting, with trying to balance the financial side of things with, okay, whose money is going to be freed up if they go to the draft? You know, how can I divvy that up in recruiting? So, you know, there's going to be some unanswered questions there until the very end. Even if it seems like guys are going to stick around. But overall, yeah, I think Iowa's going to be not hit as hard on that front. And, you know, I certainly would think that Rick Heller doesn't expect to have the coaching turnover, especially right, you know, as close as it was to the start of the season. So I think all in all, a quieter offseason is what's to be on the horizon. And, you know, if Iowa gets all the guys back that it, you know, could, I think going into 2020, there's got to be some decent expectations just because, you know, this was a team right on the cusp of a regional berth, bringing back, you know, a good number of its key contributors.
Dargan, appreciate your contributions throughout the baseball season, and we'll touch base with you down the road. Thanks a lot. Enjoy your summer.
All righty. Thanks for having me.
Dargan Southard, the Iowa City Press Citizen. You can read the season wrap-up piece he was referencing. It's available online at hawkcentral.com. The baseball discussion is going to continue here in the first hour of the program. John Parato of DK Pittsburgh Sports is set to join us as we'll break down Mitch Keller's debut with the Pittsburgh Pirates last night against the Cincinnati Reds. Rough first inning, not exactly smooth sailing after that, but he certainly did settle down and get over his case of the jitters. 4:43, we'll take a quick timeout and get John on the line when we return after this.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
We need to work as a team at this company, so today we're going to do a team-building exercise called Trust Falls. Sally, I want you to close your eyes, fall, and I'll catch you.
Okay.
One, two, three. Ooh. Okay, lesson number one, fall forward.
Ow, 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 ow.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Listen up. This is Alex Kuhn from KGYM. It's time to get your nacho on at Buffalo Wild Wings with their new and improved Ultimate Nachos for just $5. That's right, just $5 today through June 2nd. Yep, a whole week of $5 nachos, 7 days of cheesy jalapeno heaven. So what are you waiting for? Come in and stuff your face with loaded nachos, then repeat 6 more times because this doesn't happen every week, and who knows when it will happen again. That's how you do $5 nacho week at Buffalo Wild Wings now through June 2nd. Dine in and participating locations available for a limited time only while supplies last.
Mosquitoes and their friends are planning a little get-together in your yard. So the Home Depot has Memorial Day savings on Cutter Backyard Bug Control Spray for yards. Buy one now and get Cutter's Outdoor Fogger for patios free. The spray protects your lawn against mosquitoes and other insects all summer. Just connect to your garden hose, add the free fogger to protect your patio or deck, and you'll be ready for summer. Today is the day for doing, with big savings on Cutter Backyard Bug Control. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 2 per customer.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge. For the exact same high-speed networks, it's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Hey, my friend's retail store was the victim of IoT password theft.
Yep. Cybercriminals are taking over security cameras, payment systems, and other IoT devices by exploiting vulnerabilities.
What if they target us and our dispersed network?
We're secured with Barracuda. We have advanced firewalls for our sites, enhanced security for our cloud infrastructure, and total email protection.
Such a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
A Sport Clips Championship haircut experience makes you feel like your hair has its own walk-up music. Maybe you play sports. Maybe you play sports online. Or maybe your sport is keeping up with your kids. Your hair deserves its own walk-up music. And at Sport Clips, we make it easy. A game-changing cut from a stylist trained for guys while you're surrounded by sports. Hair this good needs no introduction, but you'll want one anyway. So download the app, check in, and get your hair in the game.
The Golden
State Warriors return to the finals for the fifth straight year, while the Raptors are making their first ever appearance. Team 1.
Coverage begins Thursday night at 7 here on The Gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
4:47, we welcome you back in the Todd Rummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you, anticipating some severe weather while we're on the air this evening, especially here in the next 10 minutes or so in Cedar Rapids. Some thunderstorms possibly heading this way. They could bring with them some hail and some heavy rain, so we'll keep you abreast of anything that comes our way weather-wise while you're with us, either 1600 AM or the FMs, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. Plenty more on the way. A $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Yours for enjoying the program tonight sometime between now and 6 o'clock. But as promised, we're going to check in with John Parato of DK Pittsburgh Sports. This is a site that I've followed for a really long time because I like following the sports media industry. And DK was one of the first guys to say, you know what, screw it, I don't need a newspaper, I'm going to go do this on my own. John covers the Pittsburgh Pirates for that website. And John, we've got a lot of people in Cedar Rapids who are interested in hometown product Mitch Keller, who made his debut last night for the Pirates, already headed back to the Indianapolis Indians. But how did we get to the point where Mitch was brought up for the second game of the doubleheader yesterday?
Well, I think it was kind of a twofold reason, Todd. I think, one, they've had a lot of injuries. They're missing their top two starters, Jameson Taillon and Trevor Williams. They went the opener route for three times in a six-game span in the last couple weeks. That didn't work, and I think they wanted – it was a perfect time, for one, to see what Mitch could do, and two, to just see if he was ready yet or not. I know there were a lot of people in the organization that weren't sure, a lot of scouts that thought he probably needed a little more time in AAA, and he showed that in the first inning last night. But, you know, it was good. He got his feet wet in the big leagues, and I'm sure, you know, that'll help him the next time he comes back up.
Now, I know you asked Clint Hurdle about it after the game, but what was sort of the talk after the game about the start and in the first inning and then the way that he did settle in the next three?
Well, Hurdle kind of evaded everything, as he often does. He's the king of that. And he really wouldn't give much of a critique on it. But, you know, I think obviously the first inning was about as disastrous as a kid could have in his first time out in the big leagues. But they had to be encouraged by the way he pitched the last three innings. He really settled in, and he really saw why he was such a highly drafted player out of high school there in Des Moines and why he's been considered a top prospect for a long time now in the Pirates system. I think they like what they saw on the whole. They just don't think he's quite ready yet to take a regular turn in a rotation. But I think that'll happen at some time this year. Probably need a few more starts in Indianapolis just to you know, work on a few things. Particularly, I know he's added a slider this year, something he hasn't thrown in the past. And, you know, I think on the whole, they have to be encouraged the way he bounced back because, I mean, that outing could have really got ugly. You could have been looking at like 10 runs in 2 1/3 innings or something. And he did a good job of settling down and showing that his stuff is good enough. And I think it was as important to Mitch as it was to the Pirates brass itself to realize, hey, my stuff's good enough to get big league hitters out.
John, any idea on what the plan is moving forward with Mitch as to whether or not he's back this year? Any time frame, any knowledge of how they're planning on handling his development moving forward?
No, they haven't put a time frame on it, but I've got to believe that he's back at some point this year. I think at the very least it will be September when the rosters expand. Probably before that, they've had their share of pitching problems, and I think, you know, it's really he'll dictate the timetable. If he keeps pitching as well in AAA as he has, especially his last three, four times out, I think he'll kind of knock that door down to the big league rotation. But he's certainly very well thought of in the organization as well by people throughout baseball. And I think it's sooner than later that he'll be up here again and have a chance to prove he should stick for good.
Now, you mentioned some of the areas they're working on with him and his development. Is there one in particular that you think that kind of outweighs the rest?
I think his confidence, and this happens to a lot of young pitchers, and it's not a knock on Mitch in general, but a lot of pitchers, when they come to the big leagues, tend to give big league hitters too much credit and think, well, there's no way I can get these guys out. And you know, I saw all three of Mitch's starts in spring training, and that's what it looked like to me, that he was just a little hesitant, a little unsure of himself facing big league hitters, because in all three games he pitched in, even though they were exhibition games, there were a lot of major league hitters in those lineups those days in the first inning or two. I think he got over that the last three innings last night. I think, you know, it worried me coming in last night, knowing what I saw of him in spring training, and sure enough, you could tell he was a little scared to throw the ball over the plate in the first inning. He was scared to attack the hitters. He was nibbling around the corners and trying to almost avoid contact. And I think once he got past that first inning, something kicked in, and he realized, hey, you know, I'm in the big leagues now. I have to attack hitters the same way I did in the minor league. And he did that the last three innings. He looked like a totally different pitcher than the first inning.
John, the Pirates, as we talk, sitting at 26-26 going into tonight's game against the Reds. The NL Central is just as competitive as we expected it to be this season. What's the path forward look like for the Pirates, in your opinion?
Well, I think they have the work cut out for them, because in my mind, I believe the Cubs, the Brewers, and the Cardinals all have a little more talent than the Pirates. The one thing the Pirates really need is to get their starting pitching healthy. Trevor Williams will probably be out another couple weeks with a strained oblique, and he's been very consistently good this year. He's been solid. He's eaten innings. He's kept them in pretty much every ball game. Jameson Taillon, who was their opening day starter, he has a forearm/elbow flexor strain, and he's not going to be back until at least July. And those are always worrisome injuries, because when you start talking about flexor tendons, things like that, it often leads to Tommy John surgery, which I certainly hope is not the case for him, but he's already had it once in his career. But I think they do need the pitching, and I think I think that's where Mitch Keller could certainly fit into the mix again, because they still don't have a very settled rotation at this point because of the injuries. And that's the strength of their team. And if they're going to win the division or get a wild card, they're going to have to do it on the strength of that rotation. And if Mitch Keller can go back to AAA, keep improving, and come back up here the second time and show that he really belongs, that could give them a real shot in the arm.
Well, there's a lot of folks here in Cedar Rapids who are hoping to see that. John, we appreciate you taking the time to join us this evening. Thanks a lot.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
John Parato covers the Pirates for DKPittsburghSports.com. It is a subscription website, but if you're a Pirates fan or a Penguins fan, I highly recommend it. And again, I've been following along with Dejan Kovacevic, who was the columnist at the Pittsburgh newspaper, who decided, you know what, I can do this on my own. And this is way before The Athletic, way before a lot of these other websites came along. And we have him. Okay, John is offline right now, so I'm going to go ahead and read the text that I sent to him earlier today. Todd Brummelkamp from the ESPN affiliate in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, hometown of Mitch Keller. Hunter, that's his colleague there at DK Sports, gave me your number and said you'd be willing to chat with us tonight. I'll give you times here in Cedar Rapids to avoid confusion, but we've got availabilities at 545, 6, 625, and 645. Lots of folks in Des Moines following along with
maybe
Mitch Keller's debut.
Maybe he was just trolling us like Ed Asner did that one time.
I don't think that was an Ed Asner ask there. Look, I wanted to get, actually, their other writer who was at the game last night looks like Mitch Keller, to the point where he was accosted by some autograph seekers on his way into the media entrance at the ballpark in Cincinnati, thinking that it was Mitch, wanted some autographs. Be honest here. If somebody mistook you for a celebrity, would you go along with it? Would you sign the autograph, or would you say, no, that's not me?
It depends on what the item was being handed to me. If it's like a $20 official Major League Baseball, I'm not wasting that person's money, because that used to be me. That's the empathy in me showing.
Can I tell you the worst thing I ever did to somebody?
Yes.
Way before. This is the worst. It's not, I guarantee you it's not the worst thing that I've ever done, but in 2005, we were in Peoria for the Midwest League All-Star Game. This is when I was working with the Colonels, and we were at the bar after the game, and we were with several players. Freddie Sandoval, who was with the Colonels, was friends with a number of players from the Eastern Division, Carlos Gonzalez being one of them. Emilio Bonifacio was there, and there was an extremely intoxicated woman who was getting a jersey signed. And despite the fact that I told her five times that I was not a player, she did not believe me, and she became even more belligerent as every time I would say, I'm not a player, you don't want me to sign that, she kept demanding that I sign the jersey. And so after the fifth time, I took the black Sharpie and I signed the jersey as large as I could in the biggest open spot, just a big old huge autograph. She wouldn't drop it after three times, four times, fifth time's the charm.
Yeah, that's
I'm signing
fault.
The damn thing. And then, you know, how many years later, I become a C-list local celebrity in Cedar Rapids. So maybe I didn't devalue the jersey as much as I thought I did. 4:58. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll give you an update on the weather that's heading into the area and let you know what's in store for the 5 o'clock hour. Back with more after this.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge. For the exact same high-speed networks, it's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
4:58, we welcome you back in, especially if you're here in Cedar Rapids with us. You look out your windows, at least on the southwest side, you see some rain starting to come down. You hear some thunder out there. We do have some thunderstorms moving into the area. These do, I believe, have the ability to produce some high winds and some hail. So be on the lookout for that if you are out and about. And if you're home and your car is in the garage, or maybe you don't have the best insurance on a nice new car, don't take any chances on that hail. Go ahead and keep it in the garage today. And we won't tell anybody. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, lots of ground to cover, including the biggest, steamiest Friday news dump ever. This one was a double flusher. Back with more after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
Christine Lisi. Right now, the soap opera that is the Lakers is apparently far messier than originally thought. Sources told ESPN's Baxter Holmes that under now former team president Magic Johnson and GM Rob Pelinka, the Lakers were filled with dysfunction. There was also an in-house culture that inspired fear. The only choice owner Jeannie Buss has now, let LeBron James run the show, believes ESPN's Jay Williams.
If I'm Jeannie Buss, I'm going and having a meeting with LeBron James and saying, I'm just giving you autonomy. I'm giving you the autonomy. I don't want anybody else to walk into any kind of free agent meeting room. I want it just to be you. I want you to tell Rob Pelinka what you feel like you need with this current team to help us get to where we want to go. I want LeBron to take on relations. It's more responsibility, but right now, I don't know if you have any other choice.
RJ Williams, Magic Johnson will join ESPN's Stephen A. Smith to answer questions about the Holmes piece during the NBA Finals preview show in 1 hour on ESPN TV. Warriors star Kevin Durant flew with the team to Toronto for games 1 and 2 of the NBA Finals, even though he's been officially ruled out of the opener against the Raptors with that strained calf.
Coming up Wednesday, LeBron is in the process of rebooting Space Jam, but should he have been more focused on rebooting the Lakers, or does the blame lay higher up? Plus, L-E-T-S-G-O. The Spelling Bee is back! Golic and Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
The SportsCenter update was brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, celebrating 15 years of service.
Hi, this is Steve Anderson with Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services. For a while now, you've heard me proclaim my obsession with our beloved Hawkeyes. But my Hawkeye obsession pales in comparison to our obsession with providing you efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling commercial property or buying your first home. Sure, we love our Hawkeyes, but helping you is our passion. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City and HawkeyeTitle.com. The team you love, the people you trust.
Pros know doing it right means buying in bulk to save time and save money too. Lowe's does it right by stocking job lot quantities of fence pickets, posts, and concrete every day. And at 5% savings when you buy in bulk, save time by ordering ahead at lowesforpros.com. We offer job site delivery 7 days a week, so save even more time by having your order delivered. For the supplies you need to give your customers a fence they'll love, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. See Pro Desk for details, U.S. only.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle.
It took 15 minutes to click on the banner ad entitled, "You Won't Believe What These Child Stars Look Like Now." Be dissatisfied, and kinda sad, about how the child stars look. And now your computer is plagued by incessant pop-up ads.
Oh, this can't be good.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 clickbait minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
100 years of hard work can take you far. And no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
503, welcome back in. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn as the rain continues to make its way down upon us here in eastern Iowa. 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM, the South and North Gyms respectively, and in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. Online at kgymradio.com, where we have a poll question for you today. Who was more underrated, Bart Starr or Bill Buckner? Both passing away over the three-day weekend. And yes, it is possible to be in a sports hall of fame and be underrated. We determined this earlier today. We were having a conversation in the sports office about Bart Starr and his place in the National Football League heritage. And I think he was underrated or remains underrated to this day as far as his contributions to the NFL, and Bill Buckner, who passed away yesterday at the age of 69, an extremely underrated player, due in large part to the fact that everybody remembers him for one thing and one thing only, and it's not winning a batting title in 1980 with the Cubs. It's for letting that ball roll between his legs, and should we allow that to define somebody's career? We'll get to that here in the 5 o'clock hour, I promise. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com is going to be with us in about an hour. We'll look back on Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals last night as Boston now has a 1-0 lead on the St. Louis Blues. But first, I promised you, this should become a segment here on the program. This industry has a... trying to think. I've lost my words here momentarily. I'm distracted. I'm like I see a squirrel out the window right now. We got lightning and everything in the area. And actually what I'm flustered by the fact that the guy that I lined up to come on the show, our expert on Mitch Keller, the guy that I got to come on the show, had the wrong hometown for Mitch Keller. Despite the fact that I mentioned it twice. In the text, twice. And that guy, he covers the team. He presumably knows Mitch Keller's hometown. But here we are in Des Moines. Look, that's why folks think Iowa doesn't have any almond milk and we all drive around in Amish buggies on dirt roads, mud roads. They're terrifying.
Wait, we don't? No, I...
And Iowa is just one city. It's just Des Moines.
Hundreds of miles.
It's like all those kids
at
the University of Iowa when you ask them where they're from and they say Chicago. No, you're not. You're from a suburb. unless you're actually from the city, which is really rare. Everybody, are you from Iowa? Yeah, I'm from Des Moines. Just one giant city of like 3 million people. 319-366-1600. Let's get to John in Columbus Junction here. He wants to weigh in on the poll question today at KGYMradio.com before we move on to the steaming pile of dung that is Art Briles. John, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I'd be on your side. Bart Starr is completely way underrated. I think that you think of the Packers back in the day, it always was Vince Lombardi, Ray Nitschke, Forrest Kelly. You never really hear much about Bart Starr, just that he was the quarterback, you know. And I think he's – personally, he's in my top five list of all time, which I will say Tom Brady's not even in my top ten. So with that being said, I agree with you. Bart Starr, completely underrated for what he brought to the game of football and the Cheesehead.
Thanks for
taking my call, guys.
John, we appreciate you participating, and it's fodder for another show. Somewhere down the road, Tom Brady's not even in John and Columbus Junction's top 10. I'd listen to that talk show. I would listen to John hosting a show showing his work there with Tom Brady not being in the top 10. Bart, so you can be in the Hall of Fame and be underrated. I know I heard part of the discussion from some of the texters in the 3 o'clock hour on the gym class where, Bart Starr is in the Hall of Fame. Bill Buckner's not. Bill Buckner's more underrated. I don't think it's that cut and dry, but I don't want to get into this right now because
I
want
save it.
To
I need this news dump.
I want to pummel this. There are news dumps and then there are news dumps. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar, we mentioned this before, this business that we're in, sports and news in general. When you have something that you really don't want people talking about or you don't want it to dominate the news cycle, what's the best place to release it? About 4 o'clock on a Friday, because you're going into the weekend, people are already focused on what, and the best part, best time to do this is going into a three-day weekend, a holiday weekend, when you've got even more time for this to be ignored by backyard barbecues and God knows what else people did this weekend.
Basically, everyone knows how long our attention span is. Not very long.
Art Briles is back. The former head coach of the Baylor Bears, the disgraced head coach of the Baylor Bears, was named the new head coach and athletic director at a school in Texas. It just so happens to be Mount Vernon School District. And I saw that come across the old timeline and I thought, I hope that's Texas. And it is. Not that I would wish Art Briles on anyone, even Texans. Art Briles, just in case we're not all on the same page here, presided over the Baylor football program when there seemed to be absolutely no moral leadership there whatsoever. A culture of just absolute disgusting debauchery, where I believe over the course of his tenure, there was something like 35 or 36 instances of players committing domestic violence and at least 4 documented instances of gang rapes by football players. And nothing was done about it because Art Briles wanted to win football games.
And according to internal investigations done at Baylor, Art Briles actively helped cover them up as well.
Actively covered these up. And the football world, not only the college football world, but the football world in general, reacted the way that I would hope they would react to Art Briles. And that was sort of an unofficial blacklisting. Nobody would hire him. Nobody would go anywhere near him. Now, of course, schools flirted with the idea, and the mere mention of Art Briles associated with any job brought out people on social media, and it scared athletic directors away. I'm trying to remember. Do you recall the one job? I think it was a college job. Very low level. It wasn't Southern Miss, but there was a school that was kicking the tires on Art Briles.
I think it was there were rumors coming out that Southern Miss had at least entertained the thought, and they just got crushed.
They didn't hire him. They just thought about hiring him. And basically everybody with three functioning brain cells or more was like, nope, bad idea. Not the superintendent in the Mount Vernon School District in Texas. I think they're 3A. And this poor town was having its high school graduation ceremonies last Friday night. And news broke that Art Briles was hired to be the school's football coach and athletics director right before the graduation ceremony. And needless to say, not everybody in town is on board with having Art Briles as the coach here at the school.
Oh, who could have seen that coming? I don't know, maybe the Hamilton Tiger Cats that tried to hire him in 2017 as their offensive coordinator. And
even
three
the Canadian
days later,
Football League was like, yeah, no.
The backlash was so bad that they couldn't go through with it.
Now, it takes a real hero to fly in the face of conventional wisdom and give a middle finger to conventional wisdom. And that is exactly what the superintendent there did. Jason McCullough is this hero's name. And Jason McCullough and a school board of, I believe, seven members took it upon themselves to... They vetted Art Briles the best they could.
What does that mean?
According to...
Like, all of this stuff is out in the open. What does vetting mean? It makes it sound like they have some kind of information that the rest of us don't, which cannot be true because everything is right out there in the open.
They talked to one person associated with the NCAA about Art Briles. The one person that they spoke to happened to be a former Baylor coach named Grant Teef, who is 85 years old. So they talked to one person at the NCAA who just happened to be a former coach at Baylor who's 85. Now, if we have listeners out there who are 85 or older, I'm not disparaging you as a group of people. But what I'm saying is perhaps an 85-year-old former coach doesn't have his finger on the pulse of college athletics in 2019 the way that you may expect someone else to, someone who's younger and still in the game. They talked to one person and they said, well, we did as much vetting as we could. Art Briles is back.
And I'm going to credit the texter who said this, and it's exactly the same thought that I've had all day. Wiggy in Iowa City on the Hurtine and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. Doesn't it almost seem worse to hire him at the high school level?
Leader, molder of young minds.
Of kids, of young adults, who I think that the lessons... I think a lot of times when I hear college or professional coaches talk about how they're just trying to mold young men, sometimes it can be a little bit disingenuous because those guys are adults and those guys can handle a lot of their business on their own. They're adults. But at the high school level, somebody who was pretty much the head of one of the biggest scandals of the last 20 years, covering up sexual assault allegations and bringing in players who he knew had issues from other schools, other transfers from other schools, including Sean Oakman from Penn State. And I can't think of the kid's name from Boise State, but both of those guys, he knew what he was getting himself into. He knew who he was bringing in. And then when they got in trouble on campus, tried to cover it up, that's the guy you want running your high school football program.
The text line, as you can imagine, shares our similar outrage here. It was 17 sexual assaults by 19 players, including 4 gang rapes, just to get the statistics, because sports and football, all about the statistics, so I want to make sure that we're true to Art Briles' record there. The superintendent Jason McCullough released a statement to the local ESPN affiliate, ESPN Central Texas, I believe. I don't know whether they're on par with Doug and Daddy or whether they're on par with this station, but there you have it. It'd be like somebody sending a news release to Scott Unash. And the quote here just speaks for itself. This is a person who absolutely has no soul. We are excited to have the opportunity to bring Coach Briles to Mount Vernon. We believe we've hired an exceptional coach who comes with strong references from his previous employers. He has been forthright and honest with us, and we believe that he will be able to use his life experiences to teach our young people how to deal with hardships, grow through adversity, and develop strong character. So there you have it. Art Briles is the real victim here.
Yes. Well, let me read a little bit of an excerpt from the Pepper Hamilton investigation at Baylor into Art Briles.
We don't need to hear it. Art Briles is the victim.
Oh, okay. Quote, our findings reflect significant concerns about the tone and culture within Baylor's football program as it relates to accountability from all forms of athlete misconduct. It goes on to also fault the football team for not adequately vetting transfers. And the Regents held Briles responsible, and that's when they sent him the letter with the intent to fire him. So who exactly are the references that are speaking highly about him?
Well, one of them is legendary football coach Grant Teef, because it's mentioned in the text in the press release that he's a legendary football coach. A former executive director of the American Football Coaches Association and supervisor of the association's ethics committee offered an unqualified positive recommendation for Briles. Quote, again, this is the 85-year-old man, former Baylor football coach Grant Teef. Quote, I have known Art Briles for over 30 years as an extremely successful high school coach and through his years as a college coach. I have observed him as a man, husband, father, grandfather, and as a coach, always forthright and stellar. Is there anybody out there that would want their son or daughter, because remember, he's going to be in a building with boys and girls of an impressionable age, high school-aged young children. Is there anybody out there that would feel comfortable with their son or daughter sharing a building with Art Briles? 319-366-1600. How would you react if this were Mount Vernon, Iowa, instead of Mount Vernon, Texas? How would you react if a school around here decided that they were going to employ a complete, utter scumbag like Art Briles in the name of winning high school football games? 366-1600. The town, by the way, and I give them credit because when you think of Texas high school football, you think of Friday Night Lights and movies like Varsity Blues, and Texas is insane. Texas is crazy when it comes to high school football. The townspeople, for the most part, seem to not be having this at all. They do not want Art Briles as their football coach. But the school board and the superintendent, thumbs up to Art Briles.
Did you see?
Molder of men, maker of men, and winner of football games.
Did you see the press conference with the superintendent who basically had to come out and justify hiring Art Briles? I mean, there were reporters from all over the country coming into this town of 2,600 people.
Is this
just
the informal press conference where it looks like he's in his office? This looks like a deleted scene from Parks and Rec. It really does. This guy looks like he should be running around with Ron Swanson and Leslie Knope, and he's talking about...
And he's just getting grilled. And how did he not know that this was coming? This man's name is a buzzword. If you say his name and or hiring in the same sentence, even if there's a not in there, it will be news. And somehow the superintendent and the school board thought it was a good idea in a town in Texas of 2,600 people to bring this upon their community. I couldn't imagine living in this community and what is going on right now inside that town.
4387, I work in education. Art Briles shouldn't be anywhere near any institution of learning. When did being forthcoming become a reason to excuse horrendous behavior? If he wins football, no. Sometimes, I know it's really hard to believe, sometimes there are things in life that are bigger than sports. And I think many of the people in this town feel that way because now their town is a laughingstock. And it's getting a lot of attention, negative attention. It would be as if a town had a serial killer in it, and you would have people that were like, hey, we're in the news. People are talking about the old hometown. Well, why are they talking about this? Does it have a nice creamery? They make wonderful ice cream there? Maybe a craft brewery? Oh, no. We're home to the Des Moines Cannibal or something along those. Yeah. Oh, why are people talking about my hometown? We hired Art Briles to coach our high school football team. Mount Vernon, Texas. Baller move here by the superintendent, who should probably lose his job over this. And I can only imagine they have the phone lines there unplugged and have not gone anywhere near email or social media because they have to be completely inundated with outraged people. And I get that in 2019, there are some folks out there that feel we have too much outrage in the world. People get upset about people who were not happy that Addison Russell is wearing a Chicago Cubs uniform. Oh, get the outrage. By the way, the Phillies are now dealing with Odubel Herrera having a similar domestic violence situation, and the Phillies are not exactly handling it any better than the Cubs did, although they worked with the commissioner's office to get his name off the All-Star ballot today because All-Star voting begins today. So kudos to the Phillies for taking the brave stand of getting the domestic abuser off the All-Star ballot. But we may overindulge in outrage in 2019, but in certain instances, I think it's warranted. It was certainly warranted with Jerry Sandusky at Penn State. I think it's been warranted with Larry Nassar at Michigan State. I think what's going on at Ohio State, largely out of the spotlight.
Right.
Ohio State is dealing with its own Larry Nassar-type situation, and hardly anybody's talking about it because I guess once you get two Big Ten schools that have been a complete disgrace after that, it's not newsworthy anymore. I don't know why that is. But in select instances, I think it's okay to be outraged. And this is one of them. Because what if this weren't Mount Vernon, Texas? What if this were Mount Vernon, Iowa? 366-1600. And you got to sell, you're the superintendent and you're selling to parents the idea of Art Briles coaching your son's football team. 366-1600. Let's go to Scott in Cedar Rapids, wants to weigh in on Art Briles. Scott, the floor is yours.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Good. What's on your mind?
Just happened to get in the car in the rainstorm and hear you guys talking about somebody hired Art Briles. Not only somebody, but a small town high school, I'm imagining, in Texas.
About 3,200 people in this town of Mount Vernon.
Here's my take, real quick. I'm a non-traditional coach, 13 years, state of Iowa and California. And when this is strike three, as far as I'm concerned, Jerry Sandusky, I forgot the other one you mentioned, and now this one. And I've been chided because, you know, I don't teach in a school. I work for a government entity, but coach high school football, West Branch, Cedar Rapids, middle school. And just getting that chiding and now this, it's, you know, it's hard for a person like me and any other professional coach in Iowa, you know, to get looked at straight half the time. And then you get something like that that happened. And now the guy gets, I guess, a chance again. I don't know. So, well, great coverage, guys.
Thanks. We appreciate the phone call, Scott. We'll see if Art Briles makes it to the starting line.
If he's coaching Mount Vernon High School in August for their opening game.
This little town of 3,200 people, and they're getting ready for their graduation ceremonies on Friday. And the story, I think it was the Dallas-Fort Worth newspaper had the story where one of the high school kids asks her father out loud, "Who's Art Briles?"
Oh.
And the father was, "Why?" Well, he's our new football coach. And the father, I can't read the story to you because it's disappeared behind the paywall now as I steal other people's journalism for free to do this show. That's a hell of an anecdote, though. The daughter says, "Hey, Dad, who's Art Briles?" And the dad's response was, he had her spell the name because he thought it must have been another Art Briles. There's no way that the school would hire that Art Briles. She's like, B-R-I-L-E-S. And the guy's like, "You got to be kidding me." And they're getting ready for this high school graduation, and everybody there is buzzing about this. And meanwhile, you've got this superintendent who thinks that he's pulled off this baller move. "Hey, I hired Art Briles. People are going to love me. They're going to build a statue of me out in front of the stadium." If Art Briles, look, like, I lose all hope in humanity if Art Briles is coaching in August. If he makes it to game one, watch that team make the playoffs or something. And then
I'm sure they will.
The redemption story is complete. Art Briles. It's the first chapter in the comeback. Speaking of redemption stories, I want to get to Bill Buckner and, to a lesser extent, Bart Starr here in the 5 o'clock hour. But Bill Buckner in particular, because the man was a tremendous baseball player whose legacy was defined by one play. And most of you know what that one play was in the 1986 World Series. And Bill Buckner was able to overcome that, but it took him many, many years to do so. And I think it's worth noting the impact of that particular moment, not only on his life, but others as well. 5:28, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to get you another big board update. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com is set to join the program in the 6 o'clock hour as well. Tonight, we'll talk a little Stanley Cup Finals with Greg. More on the way after this.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
TCB Pool Hall isn't one of those joints with a table stuck in the back for atmosphere. Nah, TCB Pool Hall is legit. Straight up pool with 10 regulation full-size tables. You rent by the hour. They've got a darn respectable beer selection too, with 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. TCB isn't the place the kiddies play. You gotta be 21 to get in here. So skip the nonsense. Hang out, play pool, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Pet Mall, downtown Iowa City.
Did you know that motorcycles are vehicles with the same rights and privileges as any other motor vehicle on the roadway? Safe riding practices and cooperation from all road users will help reduce the number of fatalities and injuries on our nation's highways. Because motorcycles are smaller than most vehicles, they can be difficult to see. Their size can also cause other drivers to misjudge their speed and distance. All motorists are reminded to safely share the road and to be extra alert. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired, but your guests do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Drywall, painting, general carpentry, kitchens, countertops, and alterations, and remodeling to business properties. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
See their work and get in touch at jacksonremodel.com.
Before the start of the game, or once the game is over, the soundtrack for your celebration is Smart Rock on Smart FM. KGYM and Smart FM are the perfect combination for a great summer of top-of-the-line sports coverage. And Smart Rock is the perfect complement for all the action on and off the field. Sports on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Twins and the Brewers one more time at Target Field as this two-game series comes to an end on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Starting at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
531, we welcome you back in. It's the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Stick with us. Your chance to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road is on the way here inside the 5 o'clock hour. The next 30 minutes will give you an opportunity to join us next week for our next KGYM road trip back at Mulligan's from 4 to 7. Happy hour from 3 until 6, and then on Thursdays, half-price wings from 6 until close. $30 to Mulligan's could be yours just for sticking with us for the next couple minutes. Right now, Kyle's back in the studio with us. Big news day today. Mitch Keller making his debut. Megan Gustafson finding a place to play basketball. Tell you all about that and more. It's a Big Board Update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can find them at 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City and at Answers by Alexander, their showroom on South Gilbert Street.
The Iowa baseball team saw its season come to an end Friday night with a 3-0 loss to Minnesota after falling to Nebraska earlier in the day. The Hawkeyes finished the season at 31-24. Rick Heller's five-year tenure has seen at least 30 wins in every season, and you never know what's going to happen in the draft, but they do have the potential to return a lot of major contributors next season. The pairings for the 2019 Gavitt Games were reported by John Rothstein this afternoon. Iowa's going to be hosting DePaul. Former Iowa State guard Lindell Wigginton officially became a former Iowa State guard over the weekend, announcing he'll be staying in the NBA draft. He still doesn't have much hype leading into the draft, but his departure solidifies an open scholarship that Steve Prohm has expressed high hopes for. Randy Peterson reported this morning he's heard of a real chance that spot goes to Penn State transfer freshman guard Rasir Bolton. At 6'2", he averaged over 11 points and shot 36% from three. The Colonels scored 25 runs and 2 wins on Saturday and Sunday, and that's far from the only reason for excitement from the weekend as they receive their next big-time Twins prospect in 20-year-old shortstop Wander Javier. He's not highly ranked currently after not being on the field much, but the Twins gave him $4 million to sign back in 2015. Unfortunately, the team starts a long road trip tonight in Burlington, not returning until May 11th. Cedar Rapids Xavier product Mitch Keller made his major league debut for the Pirates yesterday, starting against the Reds, and he definitely got off to a shaky start, giving up 6 runs in the first inning, but he did settle in for 3 scoreless innings after that and finished with 7 Ks. Tonight after the show, we'll have the 19 games over 500 Minnesota Twins hosting the Brewers on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And the Colonels are out of town this week because they're hosting the Division III World Series, which gets underway on Friday at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Unfortunately, Co will not be a part of that. They were bounced from the Super Regional by, I believe it was Alabama, Birmingham.
Birmingham Southern.
My bad. Cohawks playing in the Division III World Series in their hometown would have been a tremendous story. And Steve Cook and the Cohawks put together a tremendous season, probably overlooked nationally because the America Rivers Conference isn't necessarily thought of as a great baseball conference, even though anybody who's ever taken in the conference tournament at Veterans Memorial Stadium knows they play some pretty good baseball there. So congratulations going out to the Cohawks on a pretty good run and one that ends just short of what would have been a really intriguing story here, at least in Des Moines, Iowa, hometown of Mitch Keller. I can't get over that. Do I need to get over it? Because I did that. I brought that pox upon this show, and the minute that it came out of the Pittsburgh Pirates expert's mouth, I was like, "What have I done? What have I done?"
I just feel like usually when that type of thing happens, people are up in arms, but have we just sort of become immune to it? Have we just sort of accepted that people don't know from the out east, don't know anything about the Midwest?
I don't know. It's my fault.
I'm from St. Louis, and I still get people asking me, "Hey, do you you live on a farm?"
I don't know what to say at this point, other than the fact that Kyle busted his ass to try to find somebody to come on the program today because Mitch Keller making his big league debut is a huge story worthy of covering it in his hometown. Kyle couldn't get anybody. I said, I'll see if I can come up with anybody. I find this guy, he gets me to the other guy, and the other guy thinks that Mitch Keller's hometown is Des Moines. The expert. And who does that make look bad? Not the guy on the phone. It makes us look stupid. Stupid! To quote UHF if you've ever seen that movie. Weird Al Yankovic, by the way, is coming to the McGrath Amphitheater this summer, if it ever stops raining. Seriously, is it ever going to stop raining? I'm tired of the rain. It has, at least here on the southwest side, but I'm sure it's just going to pick up again tomorrow and the day after that.
And tonight.
Sooner or later, we're going to hire somebody to build an ark, and then we're going to look out the window, and we're going to wonder where the heck they're at, and the guy will be in Des Moines. You guys called about an ark? Well, Cedar Rapids, Des Moines, they're only 2 hours apart. 319-366-1600. Tough, tough weekend for sports losses, passing away. Sunday, it was Bart Starr, the legendary former quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. And then yesterday, Bill Buckner, veteran of, was it 20 seasons in the major leagues? Tremendous, tremendous career. Unfortunately remembered for the error committed in Game 6 of the 1986 World Series in which he let a ground ball off the bat of Mookie Wilson roll between his legs, and ultimately the Mets wind up winning Game 7 of the World Series, and Boston's title drought continued for several more years until they were able to break the curse in 2004. It took Buckner decades to forgive not the fans, but the media in Boston for making him the GOAT in that series when there were plenty of other opportunities to point to what went wrong. John McNamara was the manager who left Bill Buckner in the game when I believe it was Dave Stapleton, who would have been a fine defensive substitution for him. Dave Stapleton or Rick Miller, I can't remember. But Buckner's still in there on bad knees, and he doesn't make the play, and that's what he's remembered for. And to me, what was really interesting in reading and watching the coverage over the weekend of his passing was the fact that there was a lot of outrage with regard to talking about the error. The error sort of being the lead in most of the obituaries. Bill Buckner, the guy who committed the error in 1986 that helped the Mets win the World Series, Bill Buckner passed away at 69 from dementia. And I'm thinking, I get that he had a tremendous major league career. But at the same time, what you're most remembered for is at the top of your obituary, whether you're semi-famous, truly famous. I mean, regular Joe Schmoes like you and me, we pass away, and it's just going to be the standard so-and-so, age 39, age whatever, passed away, yada, 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 son, husband, na-na-na-na-na. You're famous. It's, hey, the reason why people know you're famous, and then it goes on continuing the rest of the story. Now, Bill Buckner was more than that error. Won a batting title in 1980, a tremendous baseball player, a great human being. Both he and Bart Starr were really good guys. Very religious, very salt-of-the-earth people. And yet Bill Buckner is defined by one play in which he made a mistake, and you can talk to baseball historians. Many of them will tell you they think Mookie Wilson would have been safe on the play regardless of whether Buckner had fielded the ball, because he was so far behind the base that there's no way he beats Mookie Wilson in a foot race to first base. It's beside the point. Can you imagine having the career that Bill Buckner did, and then being defined, forever remembered for making one mistake? This is
a
guy.
That's the risk you take.
Who never struck out. He never struck out three times in a game in his career. Played two decades in the major leagues and never struck out three times in the same game.
Thinking about the stats like that that I've heard about Bill Buckner since his passing, it is amazing to me now to think about exactly what you just said, because he was before my time. And That's what I knew. That's what I knew Bill Buckner for. When you said his name, that's what you remember. That's what you know about him. For somebody that was born in the early 90s, you didn't get to see him. You didn't get an appreciation of how good of a player was. You knew him for letting a ball go right through his legs in a moment where he was playing in the pinnacle of his sport. So now to hear the statistics and to get the exact context for how good he was and to still think that that's what he's remembered for on the day till the day he dies and now after he dies, that's sort of the sad reality sometimes of sports. One misstep, one mistake can define you.
Tyler Kepner, who is a baseball author, had the statistic the other day that on the last full day of Bill Buckner's life, he passed away yesterday, so Sunday, the last full day of his life, 16 players in the major leagues struck out at least three times in a game, and he never did it over the course of 22 seasons, not once in a single game. Tremendous player, drafted by the Dodgers, traded to the Chicago Cubs along with Ivan DeJesus for Rick Monday. Spent eight seasons in Chicago, won a batting title in 1980. He hit in front of Dave Kingman on some really awful Cubs teams that were slightly before my time. 1984 rolls around, and it looks like he's finally going to get his just rewards. And Leon Durham emerges, Bull, as an offensive threat. And so they ship him to the Boston Red Sox for Dennis Eckersley. And he goes on. He drove in 100 runs his first two seasons in Boston. Tremendous hitter, great teammate. Everybody loves him. Commits an error in the 1986 World Series. And again, his issue was with the media more so than it was with the fans. He declined in, I believe it was 2006. They were doing a 20-year reunion of the 1986 team. He didn't come to that. Several years ago, they welcomed him back to Fenway. I think it was in 2008. And he comes out of the Green Monster, and they've got the giant flag draped over the monster, and he throws out the first pitch to Dwight Evans, who was crouched down behind home plate, another Red Sox who I don't think gets as much credit for being a tremendous player as he probably deserves, and he's wiping tears away. And yet he's still defined, even in death, in his obituary, by that one play. And I think you have to mention it, and I get why it's near the top of most of the stories about his passing, but man, some people were very upset about that. He's more than that. Well, I'm trying to think of another example. I mean, we don't mind it when it's a great story. God forbid the day ever happens where Drew Tate or Warren Holloway passes away. What do you think the lead item to the obituary is going to be? It's going to be that play in the Capital One Bowl.
Joe Carter.
Joe Carter is going to be remembered for hitting the home run in the World Series off Mitch Williams. Those are good moments. Unfortunately, you also have other instances where a guy is going to be remembered for one thing. Many of you probably don't even know the name Brant Brown, but Brant Brown was an outfielder for the Chicago Cubs who simply had to catch a fly ball at County Stadium against the Brewers in 1998, didn't do it. He committed an error. He dropped the ball. The audio is extremely famous, Ron Santo screaming, oh no, over the air. When Brant Brown passes away, that's going to be the first item in his obituary, who famously dropped a ball that may have cost the Chicago Cubs more than just a game that day. And they wound up beating the San Francisco Giants in a 1-6 game, 163, and same things fizzled out after that. But you'll never, I don't think, have a play as synonymous with one individual as that ball rolling between Bill Buckner's legs. And it really is unfortunate. And I'm happy that at the end of his life, he was able to make sort of peace with that. He toured the country with Mookie Wilson. He signed autographs. That picture is available on eBay. You can find it autographed by Bill Buckner and Mookie Wilson. He was here in Cedar Rapids probably about 20 years ago for a hot stove banquet. They brought him in primarily because a lot of folks here in Eastern Iowa remembered and loved him as a member of the Chicago Cubs. As a matter of fact, Marcia Moran, who I used to work with at the Colonels, her favorite player on the Cubs was Bill Buckner. And if you're a little bit older than I am, probably in your mid to late 40s, and you're a Cubs fan, Bill Buckner was probably your favorite player because he was the only player worth liking on some of those. Yeah, Bruce Sutter was good, and you had Dave Kingman, but Bill Buckner was tremendous for 8 seasons. A .300 batting average with the Cubs in 8 seasons before that trade to the Red Sox. Dennis Eckersley, for folks who don't remember, was a starting pitcher when he joined the Cubs, and things went south for him with alcohol, and the Oakland A's were able to acquire him on the cheap, and Tony La Russa basically reinvented Dennis Eckersley's career. We know him now as a Hall of Fame closer. 319-366-1600. What's up?
Just got one from a listener. I think we're going to poke some buttons here. One Ronnie Harmon didn't fumble all season, and then the listener says he didn't fumble all season and then fumbled 4 times in one bowl game. And this listener thought that Harmon will be wrongfully remembered for that.
I think that's a good example.
Craig Elo,
the Jordan,
shot. Michael Jordan
hits the shot over Craig Elo. I guess this
Sam Bowie, not necessarily for anything.
He will forever be remembered as the player who was drafted ahead of Michael Jordan.
Correct.
Again, you can't necessarily control what people remember you for. And I don't know, I was conflicted on that because I get the moral outrage from some folks about, well, how can you do this to Bill Buckner? You know, Bill Buckner passes away and everybody's talking about the heir. He should be more than that. Well, without that heir, Bill Buckner was a really good player that probably gets forgotten by a lot of,
right,
of fans. Because of that heir, he's legendary. He's just legendary for all the wrong reasons. There's a bar in Chicago named Merkel's, which is named after a player who, like Bill Buckner, is best remembered for making a major mistake in a Major League Baseball game. 366-1600. They have these giant fish bowls. And, we don't want to go into stories about people's weekends. Did you go to Merkel's?
I did not go
while
to Merkel's.
In Chicago?
No.
Should have. Fish bowls are
I'll
good.
Go next time.
Go to the phone lines, 366-1600. Kevin in Cedar Rapids wants to bring up a football example. I think I know where he's going with this. Kevin, what's up?
Yeah, it was, I believe the Vikings, I can't remember the year. I want to say it was Anderson. Didn't miss a field goal all year. Is Mr. Reliable. Just needs to make one field goal to send the Vikings to the Super Bowl, who were their favorite if they were to get to the Super Bowl. Misses the one kick, and the Vikings haven't been close to that again.
Gary Anderson.
See, that's an interesting one.
Sorry, Cyclone Tim. I know Cyclone Tim was listening in the first hour of the program. If he's still listening, my bad.
I just remember that was one of my first sports memories of being conscious enough to know what was going on. And the way that Gary Anderson was talked about during that time was he was the best kicker in the NFL. He was automatic. He was unbelievable. And now his name is a swear word in Minnesota. So I think that is a very good example.
I don't know how many... I'm looking at the text line here, and we're getting some good examples here. I don't know whether Chris Webber fits into this. Robin Centerpoint brought up Chris Webber, who called the non-existent timeout in the Final Four. But Webber was a member of the Fab Five and went on to a decent amount of success in the NBA. That's probably a footnote in the obituary. His career was not defined by that timeout, was it?
No, but I don't. I would say it's more than a footnote.
Buckner's career was defined
middle
by
of the
that
row,
era.
But no, it's not to the level of Buckner. His entire career, 22 years, one play. That's what he's remembered by for a lot of people.
And we still have people that are upset at the poll question today, KGYMradio.com. Who's more underrated, Bill Buckner or Bart Starr? You can be a Hall of Famer and be underrated. And Bart Starr, whether you like it or not, is sort of underrated in the pantheon of great football players. He's remembered also for one play in particular, and that's scoring a touchdown in one of the most famous football games of all time. And it's neither Super Bowl I or Super Bowl II, but the Ice Bowl behind that wonderful Packers offensive line with Jerry Kramer and Fuzzy Thurston. 366-1600. Let's go to the phone lines. Tom in Cedar Rapids. Tom, what's up?
Hey, fellas. So another place kicker, but he'll be remembered as something he did that will go down in infamy. Garo Yepremian, the Dolphins kicker who had a field goal blocked and ran the wrong way.
Yes, it was one of the earlier Super Bowls, right? Trying to remember exactly. I know the play in reference there.
I thought he was going to go with Bill Gramatica, the guy who celebrated a 22-yard field goal and tore his ACL, blew out his knee.
1307 mentions Leon Lett of the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, when Leon Lett dies, they will not mention in his obituary, at the top of the obituary, how many Super Bowl rings he has. They will mention the fact that Leon Lett was chased down. I think it was Don Beebe who caught him from behind in the Super Bowl. And he had, I think it was a fumble recovery, and he was running for a touchdown. He started celebrating a little bit early, and one of the wide receivers chased him down from behind and caused him to fumble. Yeah, Leon Lett. That's a type of Bill Buckner situation, except it didn't cost the Cowboys the game. You're still going to remember it, but as others much wiser than I am would point out, that was game 6 of the World Series where Buckner committed the error. The Red Sox still had game 7, and they could not come back and win that. Very similar to the Cubs in 2003 with Steve Bartman. Everybody tends to forget that there was another game the following night. And
another one on that same exact tone, Don Denkinger, in game 6 of the 85 World Series.
A native of Waterloo, which to my knowledge, Don is still alive, but the play with George Orta at first base, in which if that happened in today's game,
it's not an issue.
The St. Louis Cardinals have 12 rings that they can throw in everybody's face. But it was an awful call. Todd Worrell was clearly there, clearly had beaten George Orta to the bag, and instead Don Denkinger calls Orta safe, and the Royals wind up winning the World Series. And when Don Denkinger dies, that's what he'll be remembered for. And it's not what he wants to be remembered for, but ultimately that call defined his career. Don Denkinger was a very good umpire for decades in the major leagues. He'll be remembered for that one mistake. Let's go back to the phone lines, 366-1600. Brian in Cedar Rapids, what's up?
It's Scott Norwood, Buffalo Bills. Guy made a Pro Bowl. Also was all NFL team 1 year, missed one kick in a Super Bowl for the Buffalo Bills, never ended up, you know, making it over the hill. And that's the one he'll always be remembered for. I think he had like a 70 something percentage field goal made. So that's gotta be one right up there with Buckner.
Scott Norwood of the Bills.
That's a really good one. Just for the fact that just like Buckner, this is a franchise that was so close to getting over the hump and breaking the stigma of not winning a championship, but wasn't able to do that. And it's remembered because it was a play that it was so close. The team was so close to winning and was not able to win. And that play sticks out as a huge gaffe and always will. That's the only. I think Scott Norwood's the only one that's even close to Bill Buckner.
So Bill Buckner remembered, unfortunately, for the error in the 1986 World Series, but was a very good player for 22 years in the major leagues. Won that batting title. I think it was Keith Hernandez of the St. Louis Cardinals that he beat out in 1980 for the title. Hit 324 that year. wound up coming back to baseball in his later years, was a hitting coach in the Cubs farm system in, I believe it was Boise, and worked with Chris Bryant and David Bodie during their first seasons in the Cubs organization. I think Wilson Contreras also worked and learned under him at various points. So you can look to the present-day Chicago Cubs for a little bit of Bill Buckner's legacy as a hitting coach. And again, 18 times he struck out in 1980. He struck out 18 times on his way to winning a batting title. Never struck out more than twice in one game. And today happens all the time. As again, Tyler Kepner pointed out on Sunday, 16 players had three strikeouts or more in a game. Pretty damn impressive. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. $30 to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road is yours. Stick around for your chance to win. Back with more after this.
At Menards, nobody beats our prices, so you can save big money on your painting projects. Rust-Oleum's Stops Rust Spray Paint is designed to provide a lasting coating and beautiful finish with excellent color. It applies easily to metal, wood, concrete, and masonry. Available in more than 50 colors and is great for outdoor furniture. A 12-ounce can is $3.38. Menards Race to Savings sale prices are good through June 2nd. Plus, a Menards gift card is perfect for Father's Day.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Alex Kuhn from KGYM, and I'm here to tell you it's time to get your nacho on at Buffalo Wild Wings. That's right. Their new and improved Ultimate Nachos are just $5. Just $5 today through June 2nd. Yep, a whole week of $5 nachos. 7 days of cheesy jalapeno heaven. So what are you waiting for? Come in and stuff your face with loaded nachos. Then repeat 6 more times, because this doesn't happen every week, and who knows when it will happen again. That's how you do $5 nacho week at Buffalo Wild Wings. Now through June 2nd, dine in at participating locations, available for a limited time while supplies last.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge for the exact same high-speed networks. It's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Give us a call right now, 319-366-1600. That number again is 366-1600. And if you are caller number 6, you're going to be rewarded with a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll be back at Mulligan's next week for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. 366-1600. That gift card is yours if you're caller number 6. The 6 o'clock hour is on the way. We'll kick things off with some Stanley Cup Finals discussion. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com will give us his thoughts on Game 1. It goes to the Bruins. St. Louis got a chance in this series. Greg fills us in when we return after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. A less than flattering look at the Lakers in a report by ESPN's Baxter Holmes. Sources said the Lakers, under now former team president Magic Johnson and GM Rob Pelinka, were fraught with dysfunction on and off the court and created an in-house culture that inspired fear. One front office staffer described Johnson as a bully. There were also complaints about the presence of LeBron James' agent and team owner Jeannie Buss. All these issues in L.A. can be traced to the Lakers' struggles and lengthy playoff drought, according to ESPN's Jalen Rose.
It's CYA time. Each person is trying to make sure that their best interest gets covered for public consumption. And the job is halfway done still. One of the jobs was to bring in a big-time player like LeBron James. That actually happened. They failed to bring in AD. Will they be able to bring in another max-level free agent this offseason?
Our Jalen Rose. Magic Johnson will join ESPN's Stephen A. Smith to answer questions about the Holmes piece during the NBA Finals preview show currently airing on ESPN TV. Warriors star Kevin Durant flew with the team to Toronto for games 1 and 2 of the NBA Finals, even though he's been officially ruled out of the opener against the Raptors on Thursday night with a strained calf. Major League Baseball placed Odubel Herrera on administrative leave after his arrest following an alleged domestic violence incident between the Phillies outfielder and his girlfriend last night in Atlantic City. Offensive lineman Richie Incognito signed a 1-year contract with the Raiders. He hasn't played in the NFL since 2017. NHL Oilers hired former Stars and Coyotes coach Dave Tippett as their new head coach.
Coming up Wednesday, LeBron is in the process of rebooting Space Jam. But should he have been more focused on rebooting the Lakers, or does the blame lay higher up? Plus, L-E-T-S-G-O. The Spelling Bee is back. Golic and Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/active. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/active. That's forhims.com/active for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/active.
As we watched this bourbon garden gnome carefully, carefully without disturbing it, we noticed that it moves like not at all. It's inanimate and utterly without brain function. But despite that, when a garden gnome hears about how Geico not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, it's clear to them you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. But on second thoughts, maybe don't watch garden gnomes too carefully. People might talk.
Get your vehicle ready for Memorial Day weekend. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for specials on motor oil and filters, cleaning products, wiper blades, towing supplies, and more. The professional parts people can help you find just what you need to help keep your weekend safe and fun. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Twins and the Brewers one more time at Target Field as this two-game series comes to an end on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Starting at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And the Twins' tremendous season continues. They set a franchise record over the weekend for home runs in the month of May. They continue to hit them at a tremendous pace. Byron Buxton with the blast that broke the record. Great to see him having a good season, a healthy season for the most part. Miguel Sano back in the lineup, and as Kyle's mentioned throughout the day on his Alexander Lumber Big Board updates, the future looks bright too, with players like Wander Javier finally returning to the diamond and joining the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Did not get a chance to see him in action over the weekend, but once that D3 World Series is over at Veterans Memorial Stadium and the Colonels are back in town, the weather is going to warm up around here and be able to see another future piece of the Minnesota Twins in action. Lots more to get to over the course of the next 40, 45 minutes or so of the program here. Todd Brolecamp Show with Alex Kuhn, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM as well. Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. And the Stanley Cup Finals will have every game for you, whether it's going to be a short series or it goes all seven. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com with us to reflect on last night's game. And Greg, the Blues got off to a tremendous start. Did they burn a little too much fuel early on?
The Blues? I mean, I think it's a combination of the Bruins being off for a bit. I think it was upwards of like 11 days without a game. So, you know, the first period wasn't the best period. The Blues, I thought, played the kind of hockey in the first period that they had played in the Western Conference Final. They controlled the puck. Their forecheck was working. Both of the goals they scored in the first and the first minute of the second were produced from their forecheck. And then it got away from them. And one of the reasons it got away from them was the fact they took five penalties in the game. The Blues have been one of the least penalized teams in the entirety of the playoffs. And the Bruins, of course, have the best power play in the playoffs since the 1980-81 New York Islanders, which is a pretty rarefied air for a team to be in that comparison. So the last thing you want to do is be in the penalty box. That's exactly what the Blues ended up five times. And it cost them once and then also left them a little bit disjointed because they were having to kill so many penalties.
Yeah, that last part of your statement, that Charlie McAvoy scored on one on the lone power play goal for the Bruins last night. It was probably one that Jordan Binnington wants back. But even when they're not scoring, you have to imagine taking five penalties in the second period kind of zaps your legs if you're the Blues.
It zaps your legs, and it also, according to David Perron of the Blues that I talked to you about this after the game, it doesn't allow them to get into what they want to do. I mean, it kind of interrupts your rhythm a little bit. And you know, the Blues had their own six-day layoff before game one. So you look at the stat sheet, you see Pat Maroon, Robert Thomas, these guys don't have the same kind of ice time they typically have because they don't kill penalties. And then meanwhile, like you said, some of your best defensemen, they're logging extra time and having to kill these penalties, and there's some wear and tear there. So the bottom line is that you have to stay disciplined against the Bruins team, because even if they were 1-for-5 in the power play, that one goal was the difference in the game pretty much insofar as their ability to tie it in the second period. And it also interrupts everything else that the Blues are trying to do, and one of the better 5-on-5 teams in the NHL, and maybe at the end of the day, even a better 5-on-5 team than are the Bruins.
Greg Wyshynski with us of ESPN.com. What did these two teams learn about each other in Game 1?
I think the Blues learned pretty quickly that the Boston Bruins are an incredibly deep team. Part of the storyline for Game 1 was the fact that the Bruins put the Patrice Bergeron line, one of the best lines in hockey, up against Braden Schenn's group. And Schenn's group pretty much outplayed them for the first period and a half of the game. And then Bruce Cassidy, the Bruins coach, made a change to put Sean Corrales' fourth line up against Schenn's group. And all of a sudden, the tide turned and the Bruins start taking over the game. So I think what they learned in short order is that this is a four-line deep team. Any matchup they're comfortable with. And the Blues, I think they never really thinking that they could match them depth for depth, but the Bruins' bottom six forwards clearly felt the better of the Blues in game one.
It's interesting because following the Blues throughout these playoffs, there have been moments where they look outmatched by their opposing teams. There were moments in the Dallas series, the Winnipeg series, early on in the San Jose series. But I think a lot of Blues fans are a little bit concerned with just how outmatched they looked in the second and third period last night. Is there reason to think that it might be a short series if things can't turn around quickly for the St. Louis Blues?
Well, there is concern, I think, because the Bruins have clearly gotten better as the playoffs have gone on. I mean, they went the first round series against Toronto in 7. They beat Columbus, I believe it was in 6, when they sweep Carolina. So they're getting better as the playoffs grow deeper, which is always a concern. But like you said, if there's something to hang your hat on if you're a Blues fan, it is the idea that they have looked this bad before. In fact, they might have looked this bad in Game 1 against the San Jose Sharks, where they were outplayed in San Jose, and then obviously came back to win the series. So if nothing else, the St. Louis team has shown a lot of resiliency. I think that starts with Binnington. Typically, when he has a game when he's not at his best, he follows it with a game where he is at his best. There is obviously going to be a little bit of hope in the sense that they got 2 goals against Tuukka Rask. I think those are more defensive breakdowns than anything else. But rare was the opportunity for the Carolina Hurricanes to put a couple of goals past Rask in the same game. So maybe you can find a little hope there, too. I think there's a lot of belief in that room that they know how to play through the kind of game that they had in game one. But, like you said, I think the real concern is this Bruins team just a cut above everything else the Blues have finished in the playoffs?
I saw some complaints about the officiating, especially from Blues fans. Do they have a gripe?
No, they don't. I mean, I know the Torrey Krug play where he checked Robert Thomas in oblivion has been called out for being charging. Maybe there's a call there. I think if you look at the play, he glides into him a little bit. You could make the argument in the vicinity of the puck. It's not as cut and dry as maybe you'd like it to be. And the bottom line is that even though there was a 5-2 disparity in penalties in game one, you got to earn the calls. And when you were only spending upwards of like 6 or 8 seconds in the attacking zone at a clip in that game against Boston, you're not going to earn your calls. So the bigger issue for St. Louis is less about the officiating and more about putting yourself in a position where you can earn penalties, earn power plays, and they simply didn't do that from the second goal of the game on.
Joel Edmondson last night had a really a night to forget. If you're him or the St. Louis Blues fan, there are rumors that Vince Dunn may be back for game two. Do you think that might be the switch that is made if in fact Dunn is ready to go?
I think Dunn would. I mean, they clearly miss him. I think he'd be a real asset to get back into this series in particular. His skill set, I think, is well suited to trying to, you know, get pucks out of danger and try to bring up the Bruins forecheck. Would it be for Edmondson? I'm not quite sure. I mean, he had a really rough game one, but I think there's a lot of trust in him as a top four defenseman. More likely, it would be a switch on for Bortuzzo or Gunnarsson for game two, if anything. But, I mean, clearly Edmondson has to be better. He was awful in a lot of places on the ice, and especially on that turnover that led almost directly to a Bruins goal.
So let's get back to the way that game was called. It seemed like it was very there were a lot of penalties called. It was a standard that was sort of set. But if I know anything about the officiating, I think in game two we're going to see a game where there aren't a whole heck of a lot of calls made.
Yeah, that could be the case. I think they wanted to kind of make their statement that they were going to be watching the series tightly. It's two physical teams, two teams that definitely like to take their liberties with their opponents. So I'm sure the officials were trying to make a declarative statement in game one. Problem being, though, is as per usual, it's completely inconsistent. They call it tight for about a period and a half, and you get the situation where David Perron and Torrey Krug, before the Krug hit, are basically having a Greco-Roman wrestling match between each other, and you get no penalty calls in that scenario, which is insane. And that's why Krug was able to skate away and launch himself into Thomas. So, once again, I think the story of this playoffs is not only the big stuff that's been missed and the questions of whether or not replays should be expanded to catch some of these egregious non-calls, but also just the overall inconsistency of the officiating that has to be addressed after the season.
It looks like ratings for Game 1 were actually fairly positive. Can we attribute this to anything?
Yeah, New England being involved. it's a hockey mad place. They love their winners. Every time the Bruins are getting a sniff of Stanley Cup contention, the ratings are really strong. If you look at the list that accompanied that rating, one of the games was Boston-Chicago that outrated it. Another one, I believe, was Chicago and the Lightning that outrated it. I mean, they're just really, really strong hockey markets that are really going to bring viewership. And then you combine that with St. Louis in their first Stanley Cup final since 1970. It's a good rating story for NBC, no doubt, but it's also one where you wonder why it wasn't even higher. I think it was only 3% higher than Washington and Vegas last year. This is a hotbed in Boston versus a city that has been absolutely starved for cups for the entirety of the existence of the franchise. You actually figure the ratings would be a bit higher. I don't know if the Memorial Day holiday played into it or not, but the story was positive. Right? Anytime the ratings go up, you've got to be happy with it. But at the same time, you have to wonder why it wasn't even a bigger audience.
Well, let's talk about another hockey city within the NHL that just learned that they got a new head coach. What are your thoughts about Dave Tippett heading to Edmonton?
I'll go in with an open mind. I was somebody who wasn't crazy about the hiring, if only because I feel like we just did the defensive-oriented coach who's a veteran, who's going to come in there and paper over the deficiencies in their lineup. We just did this with Ken Hitchcock, now Tippett's there. But Tippett said today, look, I got the reputation of being the defense-first coach, coaching in Arizona, where we didn't have any star players, we had financial constraints, you know, give me a chance to prove that that's not necessarily the label on me. And I'll give them that choice, that chance rather. It's a tough, tough gig. That's an Oilers team that has a lot of holes in its lineup. It's blessed with two really great generational talents in McDavid and Draisaitl. But there's a lot of heavy lifting to be done behind the scenes to make that a championship contending team. I'm happy that Tippett gets another shot at it. But personally, would have liked to have seen maybe a fresh face behind the bench in Edmonton versus a guy that's been around for a bit.
Greg, always appreciate you joining us here throughout the course of the season. And you and Emily Kaplan are doing a daily podcast, right, for ESPN throughout the course of the Stanley Cup Finals?
That is correct. We started it yesterday. You can find it on ESPN.com's NHL page. It's going to be a thing you click on. You can listen to it there. We'll have the great Steve Levy and Barry Melrose on with us tomorrow morning for the next edition of the Daily Podcast. But yeah, every single day of the final, Emily and I will be podcasting, sometimes after practices, sometimes after games, and just providing sort of a fresh daily take on the comings and goings of the Stanley Cup Final for the ESPN audience.
All right. Thanks so much for the time, Greg. We really appreciate it.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com, and solid ratings for game one. Maybe that had to do with the fact that it was Memorial Day and folks were home looking for something to watch last night. I thought maybe St. Louis was going to be credited with the viewership bump, but as Greg points out, anytime New England is involved and people can sniff a winner, they'll hop on board.
I think it had like a 29.6 rating in St. Louis, and that's a city that usually has top 10 despite who's playing in it. Usually their team is not playing in it, but we'll see what the ratings look like as the series moves on. And yeah, I share that concern where the Blues have had terrible games in these playoffs and they've looked outclassed at times by all three teams that they've played. But like Greg said, this Boston team might just be a cut above any other team that they've played. Now, having said that, if they go out there and don't commit five penalties and don't put themselves behind the eight ball and get to their forecheck and then be able to play beyond just one period, they have a chance to even the series up and head back home with home ice, really, for the rest of the series. So I'm not ready to pack it in after one game, but Boston is a really, really good hockey team. I knew that. I just didn't know the degree to how good they actually are.
As Greg pointed out, it took about a period to shake off the rust.
It did.
Did you allow yourself to get a little confident there in the first period?
No, I'm never confident when I'm watching the St. Louis Blues in the playoffs, no matter who they're playing. And really, if you're a hockey fan of any kind, a two-goal lead in the playoffs, especially in the cup final, it is not safe. It is absolutely not safe. Whether you're the Chicago Blackhawks winning three cups in 6 years, I know that they blew some 2-0 leads and came back and won some of those games in the playoffs. It's just the nature of the beast. And when they were up 2-0, I was there was no part of me dreaming about a 1-0 lead. It was, all right, finish it off one period at a time, one shift at a time, and things completely changed in that second period.
You're still obviously very excited and looking forward to going to game three
on
Saturday.
Hopefully it's 1-1 and a new series shifting back to St. Louis, but I'm going to be excited nonetheless.
6:20, we will take a quick timeout. Have you heard about RJ Hampton, the final uncommitted 5-star basketball recruit? Well, he's not playing at Iowa. He's not playing anywhere in the United States. We'll tell you his decision and what it could mean for college basketball when we return after this.
They always told Will he was too short to play basketball, but Will never listened. Will let his work ethic do the talking for him. Always in the gym, always running drills. Will knew where there was a will, there was a way, and he was Will. But then, after his second child was born, he realized the pros were all way better than him. So Will gave up and buried his high tops in a tearful ceremony. But one day, he heard that Geico could save him money on car insurance. So he switched and saved a bunch, which was awesome.
Sunshine. Grass. Beer.
Baseball.
You call that a strike? Best seats ever.
Best seats ever.
Home run. High five.
Hot dogs!
Happy family.
Happy, happy family.
Twins tickets.
Twins tickets.
That's hit a long way.
Twins tickets. Get them now. TwinsBaseball.com.
At Trex, we know there's a place for wood in your backyard. We recommend the fire pit. But when it comes to choosing the right material for your next deck, look no further than the superior beauty and durability of the number one name in outdoor living. Trex decking delivers the look of wood without all the work and the worry. So make sure your next deck is built with Trex.
Find Trex decking at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander. Visit either location in Iowa City.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
TCB Pool Hall isn't one of those joints with a table stuck in the back for atmosphere. Nah, TCB Pool Hall is legit. Straight up pool with 10 regulation full-size tables you rent by the hour. They've got a darn respectable beer selection too with 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. TCB isn't the place the kiddies play. You gotta be 21 to get in here. So skip the nonsense. Hang out, play pool, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Pet Bowl, downtown Iowa City.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
The Golden State Warriors return to the finals for the fifth straight year, while the Raptors are making their first ever appearance. Game one.
Coverage begins Thursday night at 7 here on the Gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
6:24, we welcome you back in. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on a Tuesday, a Memorial Day shortened work week for everybody here in the building. We appreciate you finding us. No Lunchbox Heroes this week here at KGYM due to the short week, but you can learn details about what it is we do for Lunchbox Heroes by visiting our website, kgymradio.com. While you're there, you can vote in our poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind the Taco John's. Who's more underrated, Bart Starr or Bill Buckner? Yeah. One of them's in the Hall of Fame. One of them isn't. Both of them passed away over the weekend. But you can make the argument that both are not as appreciated as they could be in their game's storied histories. 366-1600. That's the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We'll get to the R.J. Hampton story momentarily. But first, Kyle has rejoined us in the studio. He's got one final Big Board update. Big Board updates on the Todd Brommelkamp Show presented by Alexander Lumber. Maybe you've got a construction project in mind for this summer, big or small. Alexander Lumber's got what you need to get the job done. You can check them out at their temporary location, 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City, or the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert.
The Iowa baseball team saw its season come to an end Friday night with a 3-0 loss to Minnesota after falling to Nebraska earlier in the day. The Hawkeyes finished the season at 31-24. Rick Keller's five-year tenure has seen at least 30 wins in each season, and you never know what's going to happen in the draft, but they do have the potential to return a lot of contributors next season. The pairings for the 2019 Gavitt Games were reported by CBS's John Rothstein this afternoon. Iowa's going to be hosting DePaul. Former Iowa State guard Lindell Wigginton officially became a former Iowa State guard over the weekend, announcing he'll be staying in the NBA draft. He still doesn't have much hype leading into the draft, but his departure solidifies an open scholarship that Steve Prohm has expressed high hopes for. Randy Peterson reported this morning that he's heard of a real chance that spot goes to Penn State transfer freshman guard Rasir Bolton. At 6'2", he averaged over 11 points and shot 36% from three. The Colonels scored 25 runs and two wins on Saturday and Sunday, and that's far from the only reason for excitement from the weekend, as they received their next big Twins prospect and 20-year-old shortstop Wander Javier. He's not highly ranked currently after not being on the field much the last couple years, but the Twins gave him $4 million to sign back in 2015. Unfortunately, the team was set to start a long road trip tonight in Burlington, not returning until May 11th, but tonight's game has been postponed. Cedar Rapids Xavier product Mitch Keller made his Major League debut for the Pirates yesterday, starting against the Reds. He definitely got off to a shaky start, giving up six runs in the first inning, but he did settle in for three scoreless innings after that and finished with seven Ks. Tonight after the show, we'll have the 19 games over 500 Minnesota Twins hosting the Brewers on the North Gym.
And Mitch Keller's stay in the big leagues, short-lived, at least for the moment, as he was sent today back to AAA, the Indianapolis Indians. Whether or not he's back at the big league level at any point this season, that remains to be seen. What I will safely wager is that his career ERA will be much lower than 13.5 runs, which it currently stands at right now.
I think that's a safe bet.
Although,
you probably couldn't get very good odds on that.
Baseball is a funny game sometimes. As a matter of fact, I'm getting ready to start a book that's long been on my reading list called Once Around the Bases. It's a book about players who had one game in the major leagues, and that was it. A really, really fascinating book. I've been wanting to read this for many, many years. Came across it at a used bookstore not all that long ago, and it's at home. I'm just waiting for me to finish the book that I'm currently reading. Lots more to get into. An item that has not made the big boards today, but Megan Gustafson is going to be playing basketball, just not for the Dallas Wings. We know last week she was cut by Dallas despite being a second-round pick, and Iowa fans were angry. The Dallas Twitter account lost 400 followers the night that Megan Gustafson was cut. She's going to be playing in the basketball tournament, which is a 64-team tournament with a $2 million cash prize. Women, female basketball players have participated in this before. She's currently the only female signed up to participate, but she's going to be playing on a team called Iowa United, which features former players from Iowa, Iowa State, UNI, and Drake, as well as Milwaukee for some reason that I'm unaware of. And she's going to be teammates with Nicholas Bear and Peter Jock, among other players, according to ESPN.com. I don't know anything else about this other than the fact that ESPN broadcasts the games. There's eight regional sites, and this gets underway in July. July 19th is the date, according to the story.
I have a list of the roster in front of me.
Do you have the entire roster? Okay.
I do. See, the head coach, none other than Iowa graduate Jeff Horner.
Okay.
He will be the head coach. At power forward, Marcus Fizer.
Oh, wow. Okay, good.
Former Iowa State
Great
Cyclone.
Former Cyclone.
At shooting guard, Tyrus McGee, former Iowa State Cyclone. At power forward, Nick McGlynn, former Drake Bulldog.
Just graduated this year, right? Or was that last year?
I believe this year.
Okay.
Another power forward, Matt Tibby from Wisconsin Milwaukee. Reed Timmer at point guard from Drake.
Not to be confused with the storm chaser of the same name.
And Cedar Rapids native, former UNI Panther, Wes Washburn at point guard, and also Josh Young, former Drake Bulldog. That is the roster for
So there's a $2 million cash prize, and I'm assuming that they split that among the winners. She told ESPN that if the WNBA comes calling before then, the WNBA is going to be her priority. I read over the weekend her blog, which I thought was a tremendous, tremendous read. For those of you, if you follow her on Twitter, she was back home in Port Wing, Wisconsin, and wrote a very long post about what life has been like for her post the University of Iowa, going to Dallas, training with the Wings, coming to the realization that them wanting her to play a different position than the one she played in college, and seeing her minutes in the exhibition games sort of dwindle. She kind of knew what was coming, but she says the WNBA has not heard the last of her, which I think is a great attitude to bring to the table. On the subject of basketball, in particular college basketball, R.J. Hampton has announced his intentions for next season. Hampton was the final remaining uncommitted five-star player in the country. I think he was number six overall.
Yes, number six according to Rivals, number five according to 24/7 and ESPN.
And this certainly raises some eyebrows because R.J. Hampton isn't going to be playing college basketball anywhere. He's going to be playing professionally in New Zealand. This is a kid, and I don't know much about him, but it sounds like, I don't want to disparage here, and I've said this a number of times on the program, college is not for everybody. Not every 17, 18-year-old young man or woman says, you know what, I really like learning things, and I want more knowledge, and I want to go off to college. You don't have to go to college, in my opinion, although it certainly seems in this day and age that we're forcing kids to go to college, and then we're forcing them to take on mountains of debt because they feel that the only way that they can have a life is if they go to college. And it's just a really, to me, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, it's sort of a vicious cycle here. Now, that being said, nobody is putting a gun to anybody's head and forcing them to go to college. And there are all these proposals out there about free tuition or forgiving student loans. And then basically you're just upsetting old people because old people paid off their loans. And it's ugly. It's not good. But back to the story at hand about this R.J. Hampton. He never really considered going to college. He didn't want to go to college. So he's going to play in New Zealand.
The reason that this one is, that this story is noteworthy, because he is the first player to do this without academic issues. Where you can think in the past, Brandon Jennings was a five-star recruit who went overseas. Emmanuel Mudiay was a five-star recruit who went overseas for their 1 year out of high school before they were eligible for the NBA. Those guys were not going to become eligible to play with the NCAA clearinghouse. Now, R.J. Hampton was, and Hampton has talked about the fact that school's been very important for his family. His mom got a master's degree. It came down to, and this is commendable in my opinion, he wants to focus on basketball 100% of the time. He wants no distractions. He wants no hindrances to his development, which I think, based on watching the college game over the past 5 to 10 years, you can make an argument there are plenty of prospects who have actually been hindered in their 1 year going to college. So I think he also makes a great point. If the NBA doesn't work out, because this is the argument you hear all the time, what are you going to fall back on if you don't have a degree? If the NBA doesn't work out and he makes his money now, he can always go back to college. That'll always be there for you to finish if and when your basketball career ends.
Mike DeCourcy, who has been on this program a number of times in the past, writes at the Sporting News. You see him on the Big Ten Network. He had a pretty interesting angle on this, in that it's not the end of the world that this kid is not going to be playing college basketball next year. It's obviously not ideal for college basketball because college basketball feeds on stars like Zion Williamson. His approach to this is that he thinks Hampton is making a mistake in not playing college basketball because he's not going to be able to further his brand. He's not going to be able to put himself in a position the way that Zion Williamson did, as far as with shoe companies and endorsements and things of that nature.
You're on TV every night.
Right. Zion Williamson became a household name because he went to Duke. RJ Hampton is going to largely be forgotten, except for hardcore basketball fans, because he's going to be playing halfway around the globe in New Zealand. And so I guess shoe companies and apparel manufacturers are still going to be able to deal with him, but he's just not going to be able to elevate his profile the way that he would have had he gone to Memphis. What other schools were on his, off the top of your head?
Yeah, the final three were Memphis, Kansas, and Texas Tech.
Speaking of Kansas, they got some news today. The player who was at the center of the scandal is
Sylvia D'Souza
is coming back. He's withdrawn his name from the NBA draft. He was cleared by the NCAA to play, so he entered the draft as a fallback. If the NCAA didn't clear him, he was going to go play in the NBA, so he's coming back to Kansas. That's not the only name coming back today. The one that I think most people here in Big Ten country noticed, Caleb Wesson of Ohio State, has withdrawn his name from the NBA draft process and will be returning to the Buckeyes. That, in my opinion, makes them one of the favorites, the early favorites, next season. Now, the other basketball news today is that the Hauser twins, Hauser brothers, are twins, right? I've seen people refer to them as brothers. I've seen people refer to them as twins. I know they're brothers. I don't know for a fact that they're twins. One brother is going to Virginia, and one brother is going to Michigan State. So they're not going to play at the same school.
That definitely got an eyebrow raise from myself.
You thought they were a package deal.
Well, that was sort of the conventional wisdom, right?
So did I. And they were visiting these places together. So we will see one of the Hausers at Michigan State and then the other playing for Tony Bennett at Virginia. And I wish I could remember the source on this, but there's a photo making its way around the internet of Tony Bennett, when he was at Wisconsin Green Bay, guarding Nick Nurse when Nurse was at UNI in a college basketball game. Nick Nurse is coaching in the NBA Finals with the Toronto Raptors. The Carroll, Iowa native who's been on the show with us before. The finals getting underway Thursday. So you've got Nick Nurse, who has taken his team to the NBA Finals in professional basketball. And you've got Tony Bennett, who led the single greatest turnaround in college. I apologize for that. That's my phone. I have no control over that, but there's an emergency flood warning for a portion of Iowa, and the phone is on silent, but when those warnings come out, they override the, and there we go. And there you have it, the latest from the National Weather Service. By the way, thank you to those of us, those who have reached out on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line to point out that they can't hear the show because of the emergency alert system. We don't have any control over that, and nor do I want to have any control over that. That's a very important public service, and it's part of having a license to broadcast from the FCC. We are here, believe it or not, to serve the public. And when the public needs to be served, they get served, whether it's up to us or not. And I'm not going to sit here and complain, as many folks did sitting at home trying to watch The Bachelorette the other night in parts of the Midwest when severe weather tore through and people are yelling at the local weather person to get off their TVs because they're being inconvenienced. There's not a radio program or a TV show that's more important than letting people know about severe weather. And if you think that, it's just a little bit of rain, think again. because, as you heard, there are the warning primarily for flash flooding. And the state of Iowa lost a tremendous sportscaster last summer in Larry Kotler because of a flash flood. So you've got to take this stuff seriously. And I always have. I never drive through any standing water, and I always try to be cognizant of where I'm at and driving, and take all that stuff seriously. I don't care if you can't hear us. We were just talking about R.J. Hampton. You can probably count on two hands the number of people in eastern Iowa that care about R.J. Hampton right now. Big deal, right? If you miss anything from the show, you can always go back and listen to the podcast at kgymradio.com. Unfortunately, you're not going to find any golden nuggets that were covered up there by the EAS alert. We turn the microphones off and we let the EAS thing do its job, and we just sit back and wait for it to be over. So it's not like you missed any $1,000 prize giveaway or any major news revelation. If you did, this is the point in time where I would let you know what you missed out on. 319-366-1600. Severe weather causing some issues here in the state of Iowa for much of the night. I don't think we're in the clear yet. I think there's more on the way.
Tonight, yes.
And more rain.
Thunderstorms before 2 a.m.
Check those sump pumps. Make sure that they are running. And if they're not, make sure that you've got somebody on call to come and fix them, or you can fix them yourself. There is nothing worse than dealing with a flooded basement. My neighbors across the street had their sump pump go out recently, and it's a hassle I would not wish upon my worst enemy. 6:45, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll put the finishing touches on a Tuesday. It's remarkable. I made it through the entire day, and not once did I say Monday. A Tuesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We'll finish things up when we return after this.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free when you text the word AMP to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text AMP to 797979. Text AMP to 797979.
Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Listen up, everybody. I'm happy to say that our office will be doing a winter coat drive.
Oh, I think I have something.
Actually, they just need men's coats in a size medium, preferably light blue.
What charity is this exactly?
The None of Your Business Foundation.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
The year was 1919. Barbasol shaving cream was invented by a dreamer named Frank Shields. The world's first modern shave cream, Barbasol changed the face of shaving forever. A few billion shaves later, Frank's dream lives on. Behind every face is a dream. Barbasol proudly salutes every fearless, self-assured, wide-eyed dreamer all across America. Celebrating 100 years. Barbasol.
Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards.
ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day.
And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Spain. That's ZipRecruiter.com/SPAIN. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Stugatz here. We all have home projects we put off for too long. What's stopping you? For lots of people, they worry about overpaying and not getting a fair price. That's where Home Advisor can help. Their true cost guide shows you what others paid for similar projects. Then you can get matched with top-rated pros, read reviews, request quotes, and book appointments all for free. Home Advisor makes it easy to get those projects done so you can relax this summer. To find the right pro at a fair price, just ask Home Advisor. Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app.
Let's talk about Chad. Last year, he was working 2 jobs, trying to make ends meet, barely staying above water. In February, Chad started his information technology career, making more money, doing something he loves. Don't love what you do? Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Classes meet on campus or live online 2 or 3 times a week. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. mycomputercareer.edu.
Twins and the Brewers one more time at Target Field as this two-game series comes to an end on Tuesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Starting at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Welcome back in the final 4 minutes or so of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Tuesday evening. Thank you for listening on 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM, the South and North Gyms, respectively, in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, online at kgymradio.com, where you can vote in our poll question one last time. Who is more underrated, Bill Buckner or Bart Starr? An unfortunate 3-day weekend as far as passings go in the sports world, and I maintain that both of those individuals are underrated. Even though Bart Starr is a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you can be underrated as a Hall of Famer, and I think Bart Starr certainly was. Buckner, 22 years in the big leagues, remembered for one unfortunate error. But two not only great athletes, great players, but great men as well. Read anything about Bart Starr and Bill Buckner, and I think you'll come away impressed. 366-1600, the Hertzien and Stocker Jewelers text line. Oh, we mentioned severe weather. We are not the only area dealing with it, and it looks like there is a really nasty line of storms going through Kansas and parts of Missouri. The Kansas City area looks to be in the path of some major storms today. So if you've got any family or loved ones in that area, it may be worth keeping an eye on. And certainly keep it tuned here to KGYM, as we'll have any severe weather alerts for you courtesy of the EAS system throughout the course of the night. But flash flooding is something to be on the lookout for until early Wednesday morning. They will, of course, add to that if need be.
We also like that at KGYM and KZIA that we always have somebody in the building in case of storm and in case of emergency. So we will keep you updated throughout the night.
I live right down the street. I think the last thing most of you people would want is for me to come back in and talk even more into the microphones here at KGYM. But I am the last line of defense sometimes during severe weather. We will make our way to a Wednesday No Lunchbox Heroes tomorrow, but we've got at least one, maybe two, Mulligan's gift cards to give away. $30 to Mulligan's. We'll be back there next week for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. You can join us then. We hope to see you out there. 1060 Old Marion Road. You can get more details at kgymradio.com. The major baseball story in this part of the area from last night, Mitch Keller graduating to the major leagues. It was temporary. Goes 4 innings, gave up 7 hits, 6 earned runs, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts, an ERA of 13.5, and sent back to AAA Indianapolis today. He'll be back. Scott Schebler was up and sent back down by the Dodgers. He returned and has been back in the big leagues, now currently in AAA also, but great things are ahead for Mitch Keller
whether it's with the Pittsburgh Pirates or Scott Schebler got his opportunity with another organization, so who knows? But I know how highly they value Mitch Keller there in Pittsburgh.
I figured that he would get this taste of the that's a pretty common thing. I know we have just about a minute, but it's a pretty common thing to see a guy like that sort of get their major league debut in a situation in a pinch where they need a starter during a doubleheader. It happens quite a bit.
Well, you heard John Parato, who covers the Pirates for DKPittsburghSports.com with us earlier, saying that it was sort of out of necessity, but
right.
He came up, did what he needed to do, and more importantly, he got over those first inning jitters and looked pretty good afterward. We will continue to follow his ascent. A.J. Puck is on the comeback trail from Tommy John surgery. Lots of baseball to discuss here in Eastern Iowa, including the D3 World Series at Veterans Memorial Stadium that gets underway on Friday. Unfortunately, no Co College. They ended their season in the Super Regionals over the weekend. Lots more to cover. Local programming returns tomorrow at 3 o'clock with Scott and Mark on the Gym Class. Talk to you then.